It is good to check in on things. Yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah, no, so good morning. Good morning.
Are we live? Just kind of started in
good
the
morning, everyone.
Mid conversation.
It's okay. We're live now.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all together here today.
All right.
I just there was a delay in getting together before because we were traveling, I think. And
yeah, we were in Texas. We didn't have the bandwidth at the place that we rented to really, you know, get it going on. And then we spaced it, so now here we are on the 15th.
But yeah, it's been, you know, trying to do any kind of business in this. In this environment is really very, very difficult.
Challenging.
Because, you know, like, you know, we have three films to sell, and the thing is that, you know, the sales amount and the way the industry is, you can't really, you know, you really have to get it off the royalties. You can't just, you know, sell it to different countries and then make up the difference. So it's, but you have to be there at those markets to do that, right? So it's, the industry, it's really strange. They're laying off up to 50% in some production companies because of this issue. I mean, I knew this would eventually be an issue. This is not Klaus Schwab's fault. This is the, if there's a fault of the industry, it's the fault is of modernization and digitization and content management. Has become a, you know, it's nothing for someone to go, you know, to go to a filmmaker that made a film 3 years ago, and say, well, I don't have any money, but I'll just take it and I'll sell it for you, you know, and then take it to the market and get, you know, a percentage without having to outlay money for production. I'm just telling you the thing. So, in brainstorming, how do you make money then in this particular environment? And the answer is. The only people that can make money in this environment are the big corporations. The individual can't.
That's the way they've designed it.
Yeah, they can't because you don't have any way of. I mean, there's always that one, you know, that sold for something at Sundance and they, you know, they made out. But really, there is no industry anymore like there was. There was in the past. You had. You know, back in the days, like in the 80s and 90s, you had, you know, VHS, right? You had Blockbuster Video. You had just that alone would make up for your, you know, would put you in the black. And then you had, of course, the advent of cable and Showtime and HBO and all those things, desperate for content. And now, because I think it's become relatively, you know, cheap to make digital content and stuff like that, you have a market that's very similar. Well, I'll give you $2,000 for, you know, Finland. Well, you know, I mean, after a while, you get 2,000 here, a couple grand there. You know, you do the arithmetic, it doesn't add up. So I don't know what's going to happen to people, but it's I'm watching Disney and watching some of these big corporations. Like I say, they should be able to weather the storm, and even they're not weathering it. So I don't know where it's going to be. I mean, I think where this heads, though, is government control of content. I think us independent, you know, we're like truth people. We're out there bucking the system. We're not doing the movies. We're not politically correct. We're doing what we want to do in their face. And then, you know, a lot of I found that the American audience is especially, you know, it's so funny because they push all this you know, LGBTQ and you know, all this kind of like libertine stuff, but they're more hung up here about sex than ever, about, you know, bodies, sex, you know, things Europeans are not, things, you know,
I was just reading an article before we went live about a woman in a Norwegian woman who is going to have to do jail time for saying that men cannot be lesbians. I mean, what in the world?
Well, yeah.
What's going on?
But I mean, in the sense of so all that's going through a tectonic shift. Now, content is, you know, what everyone watches, streaming, you know, Netflix, this, that, and the other thing. The people are caught up with it 24 hours a day watching this stuff. So the demand has never been stronger, but there's never been less money in the market. I mean, it's I mean, I'm talking to these old pros who've been, you know, selling films for 20, 30 years, and they're not sure how they're going to, you know, they used to have these pet festivals they'd go to, and the buyers would be there and so forth from various distributors, and now they can't, you know what I mean? Now that whole game is it doesn't really matter who you know anymore. It's all about, it's all shifted. And like I say, the dichotomy in the U.S. is they really don't want certain kinds of content, like when, you know, especially like they have a hang up on nudity, though they're pushing. It's so weird. It's like this hypocritical thing. You know, they're pushing all this, you know, libertine sex action with certain groups of people. Then on the other hand, they're uptight and they're outraged if they see a nude body or a misogynist promoting female nudity or something like that, and then they want...
It's so bizarre.
They want to stop you. They want to censor you. Even though they're doing a million times... You know, what I'm talking about is that the United States is officially, you know, completely mentally ill.
Yeah.
Completely.
Led by a mentally ill, president.
Ain't no coming back from that, because... Until people here are willing to face reality, there's nothing we can do to help them. You know what I mean? We've got our prayers and we've got, you know, but as long as there's no will to, you know, combat human trafficking, for example, we made really good progress with that, with our prayers and in sync with other groups. And Trump had all of January as Stop Human Trafficking and Child Sex Trafficking and Slave Month. The whole month was dedicated to that. And he gave a speech to the Coast Guard saying that these cutters will be used to interdict human trafficking. So he was really, you know, serious that we were making progress. And now everything is reversed. And we're sitting here with absolutely the worst. We are the worst human trafficker in the history of the world. And the honor goes to the United States of America. I hope you're happy with yourselves. People that call themselves patriots... You're not a patriot unless you do something about this. I mean, I'm trying to do something. We're trying to do something. But most people sit out there doing nothing. So.
Well, I'm so glad that Elon bought Twitter and is exposing, you know, what we all knew. Every day there's another dump of information. And it's really, you know, the fact that they've been hiding the truth. They've been absolutely, you know, censoring us all. I mean, I know for sure because, you know, I just got off my ninth ban from Facebook, ninth ban in a row. And
very good.
And it's like, yeah, little old me, little old lady at the end of the road here is
it's an honor.
Is a real problem, I guess, for the. People that want to...
The problem for you is the disconnect with your own family.
Well, not just that.
The fact
it's
that
like,
they won't even talk to you anymore.
Well, they'll talk to me.
Because you say the truth and they don't.
But they don't want to talk about anything that's really actually going on.
anyway.
But it's so bizarre that the disconnect between the reality of what they've shaped here and the actual... you know, perception of the basic person on the street. I mean, it's like there's such a disconnect. I mean, there's a lot of people we know that are into the truth, but there's a lot of people who are just going along with the brainwashing, just think it's fine. And meanwhile, their world is crumbling all around them. And Govinda, give us an update about how it is in Sri Lanka right now.
Is he there?
Govinda?
Oh, yep, I'm here.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm working with power blackout on this side too. They have daily rolling power blackouts over here.
Oh.
This is a case of what happens when it's kind of like running the engine without oil, you know,
yeah.
In the engine and you just get past a certain point. So the fix here is going to take off. A whole lot more once you get to this point
mm-hmm.
than in places like that. If we can get to stuff in the States before it gets this far,
yeah.
we can stave off a lot. If you don't stand up and you don't do the things that need to happen in that country, there's a lot of things that are waiting for people in the wings. So I'll give you a few things that are happening here. So if you want fuel, you get, if you got a car, you get 20 liters a week through a QR code. So you've got to, so that's basically 5 gallons a gas a week to drive a vehicle here. The currency has collapsed in these countries, meaning that overnight people's savings, just basically evaporated. So imagine the cost of everything that you buy, if you're thinking about it in terms of dollars. So maybe it cost you $100 to fill up your tank before. Today it costs you $200 to fill up your tank and you can only get 5 gallons a week. Oh. Right? So this is the kind of situation, just to put it in perspective for people in the States.
Oh.
Food shortages here, a lot of people are eating maybe one meal a day.
Yeah.
As far as like the amount of calories that people get again, meaning that there's now malnutrition and undernutrition is becoming not prevalent in societies. So, so a lot of kids now, they're going to school, they're passing out of school because they just don't get calories at home.
Oh,
you've got, so now there's a huge brain drain in the country. People have left. Anybody that's of working age that has any opportunity and any prospects overseas, they're going overseas.
Yeah.
Then the people that are able to, that are also able to go to other spots, if they can't go through legal channels, there's a big rash of human trafficking now that's taking place as well. For the people that can't go through traditional means, they're going through illegal means. So then they're getting caught up in these other criminal networks. So there's a lot of human trafficking now that's taking off. There's corruption among the politicians. That's again, you know, they just, none of them have an answer. None of them have a solution because they've never had to do that in their life. They've now imposed a 35% income tax for the people. So basically, the government screw up, they make you pay. The government screws up, they make you pay, right? So they make the mistake, you pay for their mistake. So now, if you make more than the equivalent of $250 a month, you have to pay a 35% income tax on top of that, on top of the inflation that's happened and taken place.
So that's going to create a black market.
Yes. But then the cost of goods and services here has gone through the roof. So as far as whatever it is that you're trying to buy or whatever it is that you're trying to find, just there's things just aren't available. So even if you wanted stuff, you just can't find it. So those are all part of the issues that are going on in this country. It's not a good situation here. A lot of people have lost. I mean, I know people that have stood in line, you know of people here since I got back that have stood in line for fuel at times for over 24 hours just to get gas
5 gallons
for their cars. That's typically for emergency situations because they've had to, you know, do something for a family member for a health emergency or something like that. So they've had to figure something out because certain things aren't running or not working. So food systems, food supplies, you know, a lot of this is what's breaking down. The people have to realize this. What's breaking down is not, the sun is still shining, right? The air is still there. The rain is still falling.
Mm-hmm.
What's breaking down are the systems. And when the systems are breaking down and people don't have an alternative, but people don't have something else that they can do, the result of that is that because people don't have a fallback, the result of that is that people, you know, everything breaks. This is what happened in Venezuela.
Yeah.
You know, in before, and now the same kind of thing is happening here where, you know, you get, you know, if you do convert, now here's another thing though, too. So people come from other countries and because the local currency, which is the Sri Lankan rupee, has collapsed in comparison to these other foreign currencies, people come from other countries and their dollar or their pound or their euro purchases a lot more of the Sri Lankan currency, so they don't feel it as much, mm-hmm. right? Because their pound or their dollar gets twice as much of the local currency. So when they go buy something, you're like, oh, okay, that's only 3 pounds, it's only 4 pounds. But they don't, because they didn't work in the currency of the country.
Right.
So this manipulation of the currencies and the interchange of that between other systems. So this is part of how these globalists also take countries up and bring them down,
yeah.
is by manipulating their currencies so that they can then buy them on the cheap. you've got a, so now the country itself is out of foreign reserves, you know, meaning that they just do not have foreign currency, which they need to be able to import and to buy things on international markets. So a lot of the foreign currency reserves that they had are gone. So that's a big issue for them to importing the goods that they require from overseas mm-hmm. to do certain things here. So that just resulted in a big shortage in the market. So there's some other things that are going on here too, but that's just kind of the, you know, 1 week on the ground, some of the things wow. that I've observed. And here's the thing. If people in the States, you shouldn't look at this like, oh wow, something that's going over here. You don't realize
it's
how close.
To you. Yeah.
So this kind of thing happening in the States, if you do not use the time you have right now to put in place the solutions that you will work with in the future, you will not have solutions when you need them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what's gonna
so happen. You better be doing that. And if you're waiting for someone else to do it for you, and you don't deserve them you don't deserve it when the time comes.
If you're waiting
for someone else to do everything, and you're waiting for someone else to build everything for you, then when the time comes, because you didn't put your shoulder to the plow at the time that you had the opportunity.
Yeah.
To, and you're just hoping someone's going to come and do it for you, and that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I want to encourage anyone.
It'll get through to them.
Get your stuff together right now. Do what you can.
Once there are shortages in the U.S., I mean, really significant, I think people will start to get the message at that point that they're going to have to become more self-reliant.
I hope.
But, you know, it's hard to get, stuff for the soil. It's hard to get feed for the chickens. It's hard to get the
gaslighting, you know, like what's happening in the Netherlands and in various other countries where they're just shutting down the farming for just ridiculous, ridiculous reasons, and they just want to steal the land.
Because Klaus told them to.
Yeah, and it's like
here's something else I want to bring up one more point. There's another thing is that there's still a group here that operates above the law. There's still a group here that they don't stay in line for fuel. They go to a separate line and they get their gas tanks full. There's still a group here that has that really whatever the goods and services are, they can pay whatever prices. So they still live in a different dynamic than the rest of the people. And something that people do not understand is that this globalist plan, it's a plan for you, not for them. They will never live under the systems that they're making, the prisons they're making. And so as much as people that want to talk about some of this stuff, you should listen, if you are ever proposing something, you should be willing to live with the system that you are proposing for someone else. And if you are not willing to live with it, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
So whichever side you fall on. With that system. So, but that's another thing to note here too, is that there's places that do not have power blackouts here. There are places because they're in preferred areas. There are places that do not have fuel shortages or food shortages or anything else like that. So that's something else that you got to know. That's going to also be the case in the rest of these places. Rules for thee and not for me, right?
I don't know when the people are going to get angry, but it seems to me that our dictator Klaus has warned everybody that people are going to get very angry, so they got to be ready with their totalitarian police forces to put down the rebellion when they get angry. So they're ready, you know. The armies of the world are ready for anyone who, you know, dare to go against the new system of dictator Klaus Schwab and his Luciferian alliance with the armies and governments of the world. It sounds like James Bond. It doesn't even sound like real life, you know? And Klaus he's like this Bond villain. It's Spectre. And, and he wants to basically starve 8 billion people. And only Bond can stop him, you know? And it's like, we're in a real life situation like that. And I keep telling people, you know, okay, so, you know, if you had the chance, and I can't say too much more about this, you just have to read my mind, but if there was a chance that you could fight back, would you? there may be no one who would fight back. I'm not sure that they would. And that's why the United States has been conquered. But the United States, in my view, this is just my opinion, but we have been conquered because the way they're treating us is they're treating us like a people that's been conquered, and they're letting us know we were conquered. You know, they have already taken us over. And they're trying to have the illusion that there's, you know, that, you know, you might have a chance or something. But really, more and more, they're telling you, okay, we are the people that conquered you. Here are our morals. Here are our mores. You know, we're putting them out there as, you know, not just propaganda, but cues for you to live by. And you need to adapt to what we tell you to adapt to. And, you know, because you allowed yourselves to be conquered, we can dictate to you. Yes, there's only one law, and that is if you serve us, you know, you get a break. But if you go against, you know, even if you look the wrong way or say the wrong thing on social media, we'll just throw you in jail for 30 years. You know what I mean? Just, we don't even care.
So Zeph, on this one is that they make you believe that they've conquered you. You make you believe that they won, but in reality,
No, they don't. They're not. Wait, I misspoke. They're not telling the people that they're these are cues. I am saying they're behaving like a conquering force that has just taken over, and now they're going to divvy up the spoils. You know, geld the males, which is what they always do, and then, you know, take the females and the children as booty, as loot, and, you know, and traffic that, and then, you know, take the land and take the farms and, you know, just gradually just take everything.
But that's my point, is at some point, people, when the back is to the wall, people will stand up, because that will be the only choice they have. And that's why when Govinda talks about what's going on in Sri Lanka, at some point, people are going to be, you know what? We can have better than this if we just say, you don't know, or stop doing it, and people start abiding to the system, because all these systems need people to, for them to move. And yeah, you can pay so many of those people along the way, but after a while, mm-hmm. you know, people are going to be like, no, you know what? It's not worth that money. It's not worth that. You know?
They have to be willing to lose mm-hmm. their 401ks, their property, their lives, and, you know, and their freedom to go up against the beast system, let's say. You know, and then they would have to be an inspiration to others. I mean, you need a lot of people to suddenly, like, wake up and go, hey, you know, they're acting like we've been conquered. Yeah. You know, when they come to take the guns.
I wonder
what's going to happen then.
Down. Yeah, but when the currency's down and the dollar's not worth anything, what is it? You already lost your 401k. You already lost all that. So that's when people are going to be, you know what, I've already lost everything.
Yeah. Well, look. Let's hope for the. We're going to hope for the best. We're going to pray for the best. But right now, I think we need to look at reality. They're the way they are operating is very. And they are very confident that they have this under control globally, not just, you know, everywhere. And they're continuing forward. And what I think you're saying, and what Govinda is saying, what I'm saying, is yes, there needs to be an answer back. You know, people have to rise up against them, and they did for a while with the COVID. Remember, and I thought that was the beginning of kind of people rising up. They're not going to take it down. You know, rioting in, you know, Venezuela, Brazil, various places. You know, the truck thing, convoy up in Canada.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like there was some fight for a while. And then, of course, the mask came down, and they said, you have to wear the mask. People wouldn't do it. And there was this
rebellion. Oh, just the other day, I went to pay our property tax. And here, you walk in the building. It's like a state-owned building for all these various, you know, state things. And they have the little queue there where they have to take your temperature, and then they ask you about your vaccine status. And they said, are you up to date on the vaccines? And I'm like, no, I don't take vaccines. And they say, you have to wear a mask. And I they're handing out these black masks, and I'm going, I don't wear masks, you know. It's like you can't even walk into a building without having them try to slap a mask on you. Of course, I didn't put it on, but they got upset with me, and he said, I don't make the rules. I'm just, you know.
Well, there's definitely
a
spiritual divide between people. I mean, forget the government for a minute. People are completely divided. I mean, it's like day and night between people. There's just no ability to communicate anymore. It's like you're either on this side with the kind of the woke, obedient, brainwashed with the government, or you're some kind of extremist, you know, a racist extremist that needs to be dealt with legally. And the real problem is Patrick, the real problem here, I see in the future, are the people themselves who are then who think if we cooperate, the government will give us food and medicine and things. But it's those extremists we have to get so that, you know, once we, you know, because otherwise we won't get those goodies. And so now they're turning, you know what I mean? So they're letting the people do the work for them. And how do you know? So to both of you or to anybody here, what do you think about that? About the people being divided and standing up for the government?
It does seem like if you try to talk to somebody who has taken the jab, and you know think they did the right thing, they almost wish you were dead because you didn't take the jab.
Oh,
and
they
meanwhile,
do.
They're dying.
Yes. Oh, they do wish you were dead.
Well. But I think as time goes by, people start to realize, and even people that took the jab, they start to realize, like, well, I didn't need it to do that. It wasn't necessary, and it didn't change anything. Now, I think, like I said, the more we go, the more they impose those rules, because it took people a while to realize, hey, all these rules, masks and everything else, doesn't work. It doesn't make sense to a lot of people. Yeah. And you ask people just keep on going along to, you know, not, you know, just to go along. But at this point, you know, when your family's not eating, when you're not making any money, and you go along with those rules, that's what I said. At some point, people start to get to the back of the wall and like, oh, man, this was very stupid, right? And that's what all these governments, they had to pull all the rules out for a while because they're like, People start to realize, no, let's get them back, hurdle back into the cages, because if they come out, we're all done. We are all done.
That's what they're thinking. They're thinking.
You know what? They have a small group of people. Like I said, you can pay people along the way to do this, but after a while, if your money doesn't, your currency doesn't buy you anything, what's the point? If I lost my 401k, if I you know, the money I'm making, it's never enough. And there's blackouts going on. Because you know what? These evil people, they tell you what they're going to do to you.
Yeah, they do.
They tell you before. And if you accept it, they take it as, hey, they agree with it. But the moment you stand for yourself and for others, they can't do it. Because they never got you, you never agreed to it.
And that's where courage comes in.
Go ahead. There's an issue of consent, Zeph. There's an issue of consent.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about consent. If you go, there's that Black's Law Dictionary. You got to go back to the 1891 version because they start changing this stuff later on, right? So you got to go to the older ones. Okay. The issue of consent. If you have overt consent, which is where you willfully take into account and you make a decision and you allow of your free will to engage in something. Then there's implied consent. And implied consent is because you didn't say anything. They use that, the fact that you did not say anything, to mean that you implicitly are okay with what they're doing to you. And this is why for every child of the Most High, you need to overtly state and express and take draw a line in the sand and say, I do not consent.
Amen.
So here, I'm going to say it right here. I do not consent to any of these policies that they've been rolling out. I do not consent to any of the stuff with the COVID-19 things. I do not consent to the death shots. I do not consent to masking of people that has no basis and no scientific evidence. violence. I do not consent to any of the tyrannical, overhanded legislative or government policies that have no basis in anything that's for and by the people, but has to do with tyrannical control and an abuse of human rights, and has to do also with the violation of that which is lawful. Listen, there's a difference between that which is lawful and that which is legal. Okay? I need to make a very important distinction here with this thing. You can have things that are signed off that are legal, but they are not lawful.
Yes, sir. Right.
And people don't understand the difference. Something, so it is not lawful for you to hurt another person. It's not lawful for you to kill someone. It's not lawful for you to steal somebody's stuff. It's not lawful for you to swindle somebody. These are things that are not lawful. But people make under maritime, which is a lower jurisdiction, under admiralty law, under corporate law, the law of the water, which incidentally is one of the ways that they've done this overlay on the land. That's that whole thing about that series we taught on Phoenix on the beast that came out, the beast out of the sea. If you haven't listened to that series, you got to listen to it. But they take that which is on the water and bring it onto the land. It's Revelation 13. And they have this overlay onto the land, maritime law, and they use that structure to do things that are unlawful, but to make them legal. So what's happened, for example, with the COVID stuff is unlawful.
It's
absolutely unlawful. But they made it legal. And because people consented, either deliberately or implied consent, they were able to get away for it for a time. But now, that which is lawful is also coming up. There are people that have been hurt.
Oh,
by
yes.
this.
Very
yes, badly. Hard. And so when the higher jurisdiction kicks in, and when the people that know what they're doing operate at a higher jurisdiction, there will be what's the two legal concepts, relief and remedy. Those two things will now have to come in, and people will have to adjudicate on a higher level. Well, here's the thing. Even about Nuremberg 2.0, I've been talking around it to some of the people. I've said everybody's talking about this as talking points, but who's doing it?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of people that talk actually doing it. But I do know people that have some tremendous evidence, and they're out there.
Yeah.
And
I got to weigh in on what's happened with Twitter, because it is really a change. I understand that, you know, Elon Musk is not, you know, a believer like we are, whatever, at least not yet. But I say this.
I think he may become one.
I think he's a very gifted guy. But anyway, he's against the New World Order anyway. But he wants to put a chip in your head too. So it's like a mixed bag. But Twitter has become, it's really good for, if you're a believer and you like to post scripture and things like that to inspire other people, now it has a chance to be seen.
Yeah.
I have never seen anything like this. It got opened up. I've been there, you know, every day. And basically the thing got opened up where all of a sudden these floodgates of information started flooding Twitter of you know, people that were back and they reinstated and they're publishing anything they want to publish. And Elon he's there interacting with people every day.
All of the doctors that had been banned.
They're all back. And so it's going, and now the mainstream press and all the people, they're going crazy calling now Elon's he's now Trump, right? The rocket man bad, you know? And, but watching, I don't know how long it'll go before they shut it down, but I haven't seen anything. I mean, it is completely free. It's 100%.
Not 100%.
Well,
but
you can't say
getting close.
You can't say I'm going to go kill so and so or whatever. But you know, the thing is that it's just really an amazing
shift.
If you want to know anything about the world, it happens there 24 hours faster than it does in the news. So if you want to know what's happening, like with a court case right now, say Arizona, where they're trying to
Maricopa.
They're trying to have some justice because they were cheated, and they have the evidence. But if you want to know exactly where that court case is with video, it's on Twitter, right in like almost real time, where you wouldn't get that like at all your favorite news outlets or whatever. It would be another day or two, even Epoch Times, things like that, or like a day slower. So that's the thing that Elon knew it would do. It would make it immediate. The only place to really get news, if you want news, I'm not looking for news. I might be looking for, movie people or whatever, or just who knows what. I might be looking for, you know, waves. I might be looking for art. But whatever it is, I would encourage you to get on there and speak your piece, because at least now, for right now, you have a freedom there and a privilege that you had not had in the last 30 years, or maybe the last 50, or maybe forever. And Elon will take the heat.
Especially not in the last 5 years.
Yeah, the only thing that's very exciting, but you're going to have to also two things. One, you don't know what the fallout's going to be on Elon Musk and what they're going to do to him. Okay, so you don't know that, so you might want to keep him in prayer, even if he dresses up in Baphomet costumes and things. I think he's a troll. I think he's trolls everybody, you know. But the point is for this little sliver of time, there is, if you want to know what freedom, you know, relatively speaking, is.
The First Amendment.
That is almost like going back in time 50 years. So it's very interesting. I hope it spreads. And the entire war at Twitter is against, in Elon's word, it's against woke culture. It's like, if we don't defeat the woke culture mind virus, we're all dead.
I like the way you put that, woke culture mind virus, because
right. It
is a mind virus. I mean, it's like,
well, that's what we're fighting.
It is. It's
that's what everyone's fighting.
It's really strange. Like, I remember way back in the day, what, about 3 years ago, when they were first starting to roll this pandemic out, and everyone was like putting the masks on obediently, and I asked, would you people that are, you know, wearing the mask, would you take the mark of the beast? And people got so angry with me.
Of course they would.
They got so angry with me for just even asking the question. And it was like, just asking, you know, and these are people who were, some of the people who were like, you know, Christian brethren. And they were like, how could you even ask such a thing? The masks really help, you know. I'm like, huh? They do? I mean, don't you see what's going on? And,
yes.
It's just incredible.
Yes.
Anyway,
I see what's going on. It, you know.
Good morning.
I good morning, everybody.
Yeah, Charles.
You know, I look out on this, and what I see is the fulfilling of Scripture of the dividing between the sheep and the goats.
Yeah.
And I too think there will be a backlash at some point. What I think will do it will be the excess deaths and the severe decline in fertility rates and all of this. And I think this is what's going to finally, you know, your money, you lose that money. I mean, we went through a Great Depression and all that, so people can rationalize that. But when you start talking about death, disabilities, inability to have children, these kind of things are going to hit at the very heart of people, and that's what's going to stir it up, I believe. Mm-hmm. But you know, as far as
replacement,
this country having been conquered, you know, I don't know. I can't say. You know, I'm just a working guy.
I think that's the way they're acting.
But what I can say for sure is I have not been conquered.
Amen.
No, me neither.
Okay, I stand in the Word of God. I stand for the Word of God. And, you know, this fight, I've been under attack for several months. He attacks through my family, through my economic situation. Mm-hmm. He attacks through my health. I went through a real serious illness just a few weeks ago, and it was unlike anything I'd ever had before. It wasn't, and there's no way this was anything less than attack.
Right.
But you see, able to stand through this. I was able to fight through this. I never missed work. And all of this, you know, because I stand on the Word of God. And what I see happening right now in across our society is people have lost their belief. And as you lose your belief, you lose your ability to believe. You know, I can set this war down, how we fight, how we stand, in six simple words: our faith, our prayers, our Father, the armor, the shield, and the sword.
That's more
and I
say.
Tell people,
mm-hmm.
and they say, that's too simplistic, and I say, bullshit.
It's you not know, too simplistic.
It's not simplistic. It is intricate and comprehensive.
Amen.
And it is
Amen,
meant to
brother.
Be so.
Yes, sir.
You are a child of the living God.
Amen.
You have access to all of these things.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
My friends, trust in the living God. Believe the promises he gave you.
Yes.
Put on the armor, hold the shield high, and keep the sword of the word and the spirit
yep.
tight in your grip. Mm-hmm. If you do that, I'm not going to say there won't be battles. There won't be, you might get knocked down here and there, but you will stand in the end.
Yeah.
Charles.
And that's what matters.
When did you get this illness? What month was that?
I just got over to about a week ago, 2 weeks okay. ago.
Wow.
Because we got hit in L.A. really bad, and we kept it quiet, but,
so did I. Mention on Facebook, and that. But, I went like 4 or 5 days without eating.
Yeah.
My strength was really difficult when I had to do lifting at work because, of course, of not eating and that.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, mm-hmm. I began, eating toast and butter and things like that. And as I ate, my appetite came back. And as my appetite came back, everything else seemed to go away.
Hallelujah.
But like I said, it was unlike anything I'd ever had before because
wow.
there was no sniffles, there was no congestion, there was no chest congestion. It was simply an inability to eat. I simply
wow.
couldn't do it. And, wow. But like I said, I'm past it now.
Thank God.
Because I stood against it. I wouldn't accept it. I wouldn't say, this is the end of me.
Nope.
I'm not going to do that. God gave me this life to live it, and he gave me it to live every second that I'm alive.
Amen.
Idea that I'm 72, I should just kick back and relax for the rest of my life, whatever it might be, and accept whatever comes
nope.
my way.
Nope.
I can do it. When I look in the Bible and I see the judges, the prophets, the apostles, they didn't retire. None of them went to Florida, and kicked back.
Florida.
The fight all the way up till the end. Even Paul on his deathbed
yes.
writes to Timothy to warn him when he knew he was going to be sacrificed.
Yeah.
He didn't cry and piss and moan about it. He was jubilant in the fact
mm-hmm.
his time to go home.
He's going to see
yeah.
and
our Lord.
Like, that's the way we fight. We don't fight with their guns or with their food or with all of their things. We fight in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when we stand in the Spirit and fight in the Spirit, we win in the Spirit because
oh, yeah.
of our living God, us and the blood of our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's how we do it.
Hallelujah.
And the other thing is,
speaking of Florida, isn't it
fear.
Kind of refreshing to see DeSantis coming out and saying, hey, we're going to look into this, these pharmaceutical companies and how they lied to us
but
and how they misrepresented everything.
But people are afraid, and there's a lot of great scriptures about fear. And, one of the better ones is, Joshua 1 and 8:1 as well. Do not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord is with you. Even in Joshua, it's like, even if you don't think he is. Now go ahead and take the take out that city. The city that in Joshua 8, it's just, I don't know if this is a Mandela effect or what, guys, but it's AI, it says.
Yeah,
take AI. And I don't recall.
Zeph pointed that out to me the other day. I'm going,
I don't
remember that from Joshua.
Take and I was trying to.
AI?
I noticed that, we really need to encourage people online. That's why I'm excited about Twitter. They allow me to quote a scripture. Not, I'm still banned elsewhere. They got me limited, shadow banned, everything, just like what you'd expect based on our content. Those are the kind of scriptures I've been encouraging people with. It's don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. The Lord will guide us, and what to do. He'll give us the words. Don't worry if you don't know what to say
yeah.
when you get in that confrontation. You talk to that leader. You talk to that person. The Lord will give us the words. It's just having that will to go up against the fear and not be afraid to say something in that public square. In that, yes, you'll be
yeah.
labeled. Yes, they'll watch you. Yes, then blah, 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 blah. But because we have the living God guiding us and giving us those words, we have no reason to worry and we have nothing to fear.
Yeah.
See, but if there's an ounce of that fear in you, then we're in violation of God's, you know, way. And because his way is no fear whatsoever. In fact, instead of fear, joy, mm-hmm. which Charles was talking about this. And so now is a good time, I think, to let everyone know that, you know, to get out of those crevices and cracks in the closet and this and that and start speaking the truth in any which way you know, truth to me is, you know, Christ, and truth is, you know, the Lord. Truth is God. Love is God. You know, it's start speaking that stuff, even though it may be scary to do so. Because I used to, you know, pull my punches here and there, thinking, oh, well, I don't want these people to be mad at me. Oh, I don't want those people. And really what it is, I'm kind of, you know, I'm showing some cowardice there based on the, you know, based on the world's programming of me. So to break my programming, which everyone gets it, if you have a TV set, you're programmed. So to break that programming, you know, we got to face that fear. And once we're beyond that fear, you know God's with you. And when you do speak the oracles of God or the praises of the Lord or any, you know, prophecy or healing or whatever it is the powerful word gives us, you know, in that moment, you know that God's you're fulfilling your purpose in being born, right? I mean, what's our purpose? Mm-hmm. Well, our purpose is not our own. I mean, we do these various jobs and things the Lord would have us do, but I mean, it's basically our job is God, right? Because we're here, you know, we're on borrowed time here. We're not really indigenous people here. We're here as strangers in a strange land. And the only purpose that God gave us was to, you know, spread the gospel and the word of God and the word about God. And we're told we're going to be persecuted, but have no fear, for I'm with you. No fear. Don't be dismayed, because I've overcome the world. And so therefore we should be good to go. Based on those scriptures, which is basically throughout the entire aspect of Jesus in the Bible itself is all about that, summoning that courage. That's really 99% of it. Because once you're beyond that, you're unstoppable, you know? And if you die a martyr, hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to just realize that death is nothing to be afraid of. Forget about being afraid of death. We've got to lose that fear of death. See, that fear of death is what's holding us back from speaking these words the Lord wants us to speak, from doing his will, from telling someone, you know, I am, you know, this, you know, I believe in God. My faith is not going to be shaken. I'm going to keep on going with that. And I tell people, I was talking to someone yesterday, it was an atheist guy, and I'm just telling him, well, this is, you know, where I have arrived. This is my walk. But I've been on every side of it, and I can't function without the Lord. So if I can't function without the Lord, I can't do anything without the Lord. I can't, you know, achieve anything, because I have no backing of the spirit of the world. It's not going to...
Yeah, that was an interesting interview. It hasn't been aired yet. It hasn't been posted yet.
Well, it's a movie interview. But I
listened to it while they were doing it yesterday live. Yeah. And
well, he listens to the Zach Report.
He did.
He's a nice guy.
He is.
Anyway, so look. It's the fear right now. That's what I perceive prophetically, is what I have to give out this word about the fear. We have to overcome that fear. Mm-hmm. We have to speak in the public square. So that's why I mentioned Twitter, because that's the public square right now,
yeah.
Or one of them. You know, and I'm sure when you go out to places and you talk to people at the marketplace or whatever, wherever you are, you know, that's also the public square. So it's overcoming that, you know, and if they say bah humbug or whatever, you've done your job. You know what I mean? It doesn't really matter what they say or think. It doesn't even matter what they do. It matters what we do, though. And when we speak God's truth, and we just have to, and I see a lot of people getting on fire with it. We just got to get on fire with this. Because there, in the end, these words of the Lord are like manna. They'll save people.
Yeah.
They'll save people. In the most amazing ways, they'll bring miracles. They'll bring, you know, salvation, miracles, and visions of, you know, where we're headed after this. You know, it's not, don't, you know, so the Lord says, look, don't be worried about the guy that can, you know, decimate you or lock you out, hurt you and all that. Worry about the one that has your soul. which is God has our soul. So, you know, that's why we're here. That's why we were born. It's really not that complicated. You know, this is not home because, you know, there's a time limit on it. It's set in time and space. And therefore, we're here for a short time and then we leave. So you can't really build a castle or, you know, I mean, you can build something here. You can have a legacy here.
But you're going to have to leave it behind.
Yeah, yeah. No, but nobody gets out of here alive, you know that. So we might as well overcome our fear of death now and just not be. I know it's easier because, you know, like I'm older now, so it's easier for me to say no problem. When you're young, I understand you want to do something, you want to win, whatever. But I say win with God. Mm-hmm. Just switch it over because, you know, more and more people, as this culture war continues and as they keep getting their way, they don't know what to do with all the tragedies. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, suicides and things like that happening with people pushing the...
But they like that.
The transgender stuff and all that. And they say that, well, the only reason there's suicides is because there are people out there that, you know, are disapproving. And that's not it. We know why. We know why they're covering up. We know why they're pushing it. They're pushing it to have, you know, get to zero population. It's got nothing to do with, you know, sexual freedom and all that. That's all a ruse. But anyway, we know all that. So, yes, they're going to call you this and that. They're going to call you names, and they're going to ditch you. They're going to, like they've been ditching me. I hate it. But, you know, I can't stop them.
I mean, this is so bizarre when, like, people are threatened with jail time for saying the most basic things, like a man is a man.
A man can't get pregnant. Oh, jail. 2 years. A man can't get pregnant. Okay, you're going to jail.
What is a woman? You know, it's like, huh? It's just like so, such a gaslight.
A man has a penis. Oh, that's it. You're going to jail. you're causing people, the LGBT community to commit suicide because you think a man is a man. Oh, my God.
This is just so
But crazy. Anyway, you don't have to be, you know, so they make it very scary. So we have to overcome that fear to speak the truth. And yes, and a man is a man, a woman is a woman. That's a basic truth. And, you know, they're trying to screw around with it, just like they, you know, like in George Orwell. How much is this? 2 and 2 equals 4. Nope, you lose. Bullet to the head. What is it? 2 and 2 equals 5. Yes, you win. 2 and 2 is 5. You're in. And look at all the goodies you're going to get. So, you know, it's what we face. But like Charles said, you know, Ephesians 6, you just, you know, wrap yourself in that full armor of God, Ephesians 6:12, and, you know, Psalm 91, Psalm 23, Psalm 37. I don't want to name the whole Bible, Joshua 8:1.
Holy Bible.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just like it's right there. It's right there in front of us. And do you know how good it feels when you don't think about what they think about you, mm-hmm. when you lose that shackle?
Yeah.
It only matters what God thinks. It doesn't even matter. You don't even need to reflect on it anymore. You can just drop it.
Yeah. Oh,
I love it.
I don't know exactly how to bridge the gap between the people who that won't acknowledge what they're trying to do to us. I mean, the people that... they won't even acknowledge it. They just will go along because, well, this is what's, you know, happening. I'll throw a mask on. I'll pretend that, you know, this is a deadly virus. You know, it's like, wow, you know, I don't know how to talk to them. I mean, because they won't engage. I was trying to share some information.
They've been given over. They've been given over to the delusion, Trish.
Yeah.
They've been given over to the delusion. It's not that they cannot respond. It's they don't know how because they're not there anymore. They're in this delusion, and they think that everything's going to turn out hunky-dory like a walk through the garden because of the delusion. And they will not see the end coming until it falls right upon them. And then it'll be too late.
Well, but you know, the good news is, I think we have a unction from the Lord here on this
yes.
channel and this prayer group
yes.
to move forward with these words. The one I received was the one of don't be afraid.
No fear.
To speak and to say that. And Charles is, the country may look defeated, but I'm not defeated because I wrap myself in the full armor of God every day, and God is real and God feeds me. I'm also saying that the only purpose we have in life is God, because once you discover that, once that becomes you, once you realize even before you were born, God knew us. He chose us. You know, and there's a lot of others he chose too, but maybe not everybody, but we got to get the word out to these people that
part of the brick wall we're running into, Zeph, is that because the churches have been led for generations by men who didn't believe, the churches themselves, the individuals, they don't now believe in the efficacy and the truth of all the promises and of God throughout the world. And because they don't believe these things, it's like talking to a brick wall. It really is hard, and it's only going to be in the spirit of God. God's going to wake his people up at some point.
Yeah, it's a spiritual thing that awakens, and then you realize without that spirit, because I feel like I'm 90% spirit and like 10% body. Okay, so when I get into that state, I feel fine. There's no problem. It's when they convince me I'm, when there's more and more carnality, more and more distraction, more and more earth things, that you start getting, down and all that stuff. And that's, you're being messed with, and you're being attacked, and they're trying to convince you that, they think that people that live in the spirit are crazy, that we're deluded. But see, by living in the spirit, which is where life is, so that's where I want to be. That gives me access to, not just God's love, but God's, comfort, and, I have to trust that God's going to lead us into the things we need, that he knows what we need.
What he wants us to do.
Right. And so, even like with Govinda talking about solutions, he'll lead us to whatever solution it is we're supposed to be doing. And, but let it be God-led, rather than man-led, because man-led is just going in circles and going nowhere. But when God's leading this, he's got this plan. This thing was set up for a reason the way it is. It's really lining up with the Bible, too, and Revelation. And it just seems like we are, everything is being
revealed,
orchestrated. And I do believe these people that think they're in command right now. The one thing that sticks out, though, across the board and all social media and all the media is the people of the world, to me, and I don't mean this to be arrogant or anything else, but they really do seem to have gotten like almost like a curse of dumbness that's come over them the last, I'd say, couple of years. There used to be witty the people, like, okay, take it like an author like Stephen King, very much very worldly guy. And he used to be really witty. He's a writer, one of the best writers in America. And he used to have witty things to say. And they've all become very inane, very, kind of glib, kind of, I guess, surfacey, I guess would be a good word.
Pedestrian.
And just easy to refute, easy to put a comeback line on him and shake him. It's that never used to be the case. And it's across the board, all of their intelligentsia. All their book-learned people, all their highly educated PhDs, have all now become rather stupid in their talk, in their understanding, in their perceptions, in what they say. And it looks like, they should be defeatable. Whereas the people in the spirit of God, they keep growing intellectually. They keep growing, let's say, in the use of, in the knowledge of using language for effect. Like on Twitter, like in some of these social media, they keep growing and understanding the depths of Satan and what exactly we're facing. They keep growing and being able to face this stuff. Two or three years ago, we talked about some of the things we talk about today. Two or three years ago, it would be almost too much to handle. But now, no problem. Yeah, we see it. We understand it. We've seen it before. We see it in the Bible, in the history of man. We understand what we're facing. We've been warned for years that this was coming, and there's We also know that they're not going to take it. I remember saying this myself in 2002 or three. You know, I said, listen, you people that are, you know, selling out to that side and want to go commie or whatever, you know, you think they are. They're not going to take care of you, and they want no true believers. I remember we had Brother Thomas on. He said, they're going to kill the new believers, the true believers first.
Yeah, they always do.
The ones that are propping them up now, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be gone before any kind of, you know, Christians. You know, and, you know, Christian has actually become a kind of a weird word, too, but... you know, we will get, you know, we're going to, the reason we survive this is because our life doesn't come from the earth, you know, and that's hard to understand, but I mean, God's, you know, always guiding us left, right, straight, here, up, down, you know, and so that's, we will become more reliant on that in the coming years and less reliant on, you know, whatever man thinks or says or does will become probably in the end irrelevant.
I think that it's, yeah, we all wonder eventually if Elon is going to be, you know, a bad guy or a good guy. You know, and he's definitely got some quirks, but it's actually amazing what he's been doing lately with Twitter. I mean, it's just actually amazing.
Well, he's...
He's standing up to the whole...
He's the guy in Tiananmen Square and standing world. In front of the tank. He's the probably the most courageous person there is out there right now. So that's good for him.
And,
hopefully,
you know...
Hopefully that'll be an example for others.
It looks to me like he has a big plan. Like, not just to free speech, but to make an alternative, you know... Paying system. He wants to, you know. And some people say, well, that's really dark because he's going to have everybody's information. It's like, well
you might want
they
to
all
be,
have.
Some people are calling him the Antichrist already. So he's already failed with the Christian. it doesn't matter what they think, though. It doesn't matter what another Christian person thinks. To me, what matters is what's true. And that's the thing, you know, your friends will reject you, and all brothers in Christ, they'll reject you, they'll reject the word you have, or whatever it will be. All of this concern, though, needs to go now. That's what's holding people back from doing anything.
Fear.
Concern about what the other guy thinks. You know, if it's really the unction of God that's leading you, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It did not with Job. Does it matter what his friends being critical and, oh, you should have done this, Job, you should have done that, and you know, and why would God be picking on you? And all these stupid questions, when Job understood, he was, you know, he didn't exactly know why he was being tortured. He didn't understand it, but he understood to keep that faith of the Lord, and he understood to reject his friends' suggestions. And just stay true to God instead. And I think that's another thing we're all learning. You know, the failure of the churches shows us that, you know, we don't have collective salvation. It's individual. We follow, you know, here we are together. All of us, I'm sure, have different opinions on this panel here and this prayer group. But we're all brothers in Christ. And we'll do anything for each other. And we're going to keep following and encouraging each other. What I want to encourage everyone here to do and out there is listen to what the Lord is telling you and go. It may be you leave where you live. It may be you leave, you go somewhere, you do something. Maybe an Abraham type of inspiration. But the point is we don't need everyone to understand. This is a mistake I've made my whole life. Believe me, I've been trying to explain to critics and to people, you know, my point of view, and they're never going to see it, okay? It doesn't even matter. It's all a waste of time for me to even think, have it even occur to me that maybe I explain myself sometime to somebody or my motives or how I came to this decision or whatever. It's basically, you know, God or nothing. Mm-hmm. If it fails, then it was my own head, then I screwed up, fine. But it's all very self-correcting. But we need to get out of this fear. We need to get out of, that's the main thing I see with, I'm looking at, you know, millions and billions of people online. They're all gripped with fear, but they know that they can't stay there. That's why we need Jesus. I'll tell you the biggest solution for the world is Jesus is real. Alpha and the Omega, first and the last, with no beginning or no end, And the logos, the word, all creation was created through the word. All of creation, everything is created through Christ. So who is Christ but God? So, you know, with that in mind and knowing that truth, just if that's all you know, you're good to go. Because it'll grow, you know. The only way it doesn't grow is if you listen to your friends, your parents, your whatever, rather than keeping your own counsel. Don't listen to me either. You got to, you know, we all have to be led by the Spirit of God. And if we do that, I'm sure that, you know, everything will be okay. Because really in the Spirit, everything is okay. You know, if you get rid of the civilization, you get rid of, you know, if you have to be uncomfortable or be sick or starve or whatever, that's horrible. But those are more tests to, you know, to keep our eyes on God. There have been people before us that went through terrible, terrible tests. But because of their faith in God, they were able to get through it. And, mm-hmm. you know, and many of them die a good death with a smile on their face, knowing they're going home. This is not home. You can't win here. Nobody wins. Nobody wins. And the globalists are in a big contest against God. And so they hurt us in place of, you know, we are like, you know, to them, we are God. You know, we represent God. So they want to hurt people that are of the truth of God, whatever. They want to
really end life on earth.
Right, because God made life. So now they have a war they can never win. And they're in a position that's untenable. And they're dragging all of humanity with them because God's allowing it because many people have taken their eyes off, but they don't, you know, denied the existence of God, denied what's right in front of their face. But as the Bible says, these people are without excuse. Mm-hmm. They see the creation and then they go, oh no, there's no design. There's no God. You know, that just happened randomly out there. Trees and plants and animals. It was like a random thing. It's just like evolved.
One of the stupidest things, was it last week that Klaus called for killing your pets because they were bad for the environment? I mean, what the heck?
While he's petting his dog.
I mean, jeez. This is just insane. I remember talking to one of my dentists a couple years ago. And, you know, he always liked it when I came in because I'd have, you know, some kind of shirt on or something that would said, yeah, I'm not going along with this. But he, and I never would wear a mask or anything like that. And I asked him, I said, I was trying to, you know, encourage him to investigate certain things like, you know, what the former head of Pfizer had been saying right from the very beginning that this is all wrong, you know, don't go along here. Just various people I was turning him on to information. He was like writing things down. And I asked him, I said, what will they ever stop this gaslighting? And he goes, no, I don't think they will. He said they're going to keep doing it. And I'm like, it just can't go on like that forever.
But that's just using fear. That's why the whole message of God right now, I believe, is what's blocking us is just fear. And I think, you know, I think if that's the awakening, that you no longer care what people think and you're going to go out there with the Word of God, I think things are going to be okay. But
and it's awful to see people, you know, putting their masks back on. You know, here in New Mexico, it's like they're really pushing, like, well, you should really, even though it's not required, you really should wear a mask. And so many people are doing it. It's like, huh? And they were really shocked.
No comment.
They were really shocked when I was in the tax place that I just said, no, I don't want to wear a mask. I'll take it and I'll shove it in my purse, you know, and so I can get in and pay my property taxes. But I'm not putting it on. I don't do that. And they just were so shocked. You know, everybody should be not going along with this garbage. Please don't go along.
Well, Govinda, when do you return stateside?
I think January 14th.
Yeah, so I'm back stateside middle of January.
Perfect.
So okay,
not opportunity.
We want to hear about, you know, you got this, like, you know, this parallel thing going with food, and, you know, you had some.
Oh yeah, it's
and then you have your
it's
your
coming up fast.
Ministry of Health, and I want to hear about that right now. If you have, like, if you
yeah,
can give us
well,
give us an update.
Here's the thing. Okay, so we mentioned a little bit about legal and lawful, right?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the things that have happened inside of America are actually fraud. And they're massive fraud on the people, and a lot of it is, I mean, the scriptures say that my people perish for lack of knowledge, right? And then another extension of that is people might know something, but there's a lack of application. So so you gotta know, and then you gotta apply. So in regards to what's happened in America, the big part of what you have in America, we do not actually have a healthcare system in America. If you look at all the metrics that are there, what happens in America is actually the business of medicine. And that's really, was really shown by the whole COVID thing more than ever. That was one of the biggest revelations for people, just how much the U.S. does not have a healthcare system, because the more money you threw at it, the worse it did with that entire situation. And the incentives in that country has never been around the health and healing of people, but it's been around the business of medicine. So the Ministry of Health is, it's, you know, we as a nation, we do not have a Ministry of Health, so we created it at the behest of a lot of doctors and healers that were lamenting the last 2 years for their inability to have a system that supported their trying to basically keep people alive and shepherd them through that period in the States where the incentives were against healing. The incentives, there were massive incentives against the people. Yeah. Against the health and the well-being of people in that. So it's, you know, it is established as a ministry, and it's been set up in the private domain. There's a big thing around that, right? So in the private domain in America, which you've got to do a few different things to establish that. But once it's there, this ties into, you know, everything from the foundation of the country, the Constitution, six major landmark Supreme Court cases that have been, you know, adjudicated from the late 1800s through the mid-1950s. There's a lot of things that go into the background, but basically allowing for the doctors and the healers and the people themselves to opt in to a place where actually healing for humanity, body, mind, and spirit is the goal and not the business of medicine. And actually when you get a system like that, which really, that's all you need. You just need to connect things that can heal people with people that need it and leave everything else out. Cut the parasites out. So when we cut the parasites out, there's tremendous efficiencies that are then created around something like this. So it's both the virtual side of it, which is extremely powerful, and there's the physical locations, which will support all of these healing modalities that the people need. So, you know, there's a lot of amazing breakthroughs that are there that for people's health and well-being. But every time you've noticed it in the public square, every time that something goes forward in the public square that can heal people or help them, that thing just ends up disappearing more times than not. So we actually have to have the ways to be able to protect those ways of actually getting people well and put them into a domain and a space where that can actually get to the people. So this is part of what we're working on. And then there's a lot of other approaches that go into this as well. You know, people that are here, that are hearing this, you're getting a little bit of a sneak peek, but, we'll be doing a lot that's going to be much more visible in 2023. But, in the short term right now, it's a lot of the groundwork that has to happen for something like this.
Well, like, for example,
if
I need treatment, okay. And I want to know alternative, and I call you up in the Ministry of Health. What will you tell me? Will you be able to help me out, like within a year or so, or?
So here's what's going to happen is that, all the people that are doing that, you won't have to be calling me. They're all going to be out there having connected, with and through these systems that are in place. And, and you'll be able to see who's doing what, where. Also, you'll be able to see that the objective feedback of everybody that's used these things, not a Twitter bot, not a you know, a Google pumped ad or a Yelp 75% fake reviews. Real people and their real experiences, they will, you'll be able to see what works and what doesn't. You, and you'll be able to know for yourself unobfuscated information to help you to be able to make those decisions of what you're going to do and how. So you've got to have people that are on the other side of this that actually want people to be well. That's one of the problems in America. You don't, because that's bad for treatments. America is about treatments. It's not about cures. It's not about health and well-being. It's about treatments and perpetual treatments for the rest of your life.
That was old Bill Gates, the goat. He said to his investors, hey, this is a good investment because this will weaken their immune systems and they'll have to have, you know, shot after shot after shot. And you're going to make a lot of money as you kill them.
That's the business of medicine.
These people are insane.
But the truth is all coming out. And, you know, the MSM can ignore and criticize, you know, say that Elon is a bad guy for letting all this information out, but it's out. I mean, it is out. It's really out. It's like, the DOD, they said that ivermectin is the most effective thing against any kind of SARS deal. And they've known that was public years and years ago. And now it's public again that, they suppressed it.
Okay, so if I want to get treatment from the Ministry of Health, I go online then, right? And there's somebody close to me, I go see, or I see them online, and I get a prescription if I need one.
So,
okay.
Oh, there'll be both. So there will be people that are going to be close to you. Here's one thing these guys have done. They've divided everybody up and pocketed everybody and not let information get to people that can help them, right?
Right.
So when you start actually releasing that information and allowing people to connect with that information, there will be people virtually that can help you, and there'll be people that are in your location. And that's going to grow over time, right? So initially it'll be a few, and then as time goes on, it'll be more and more and more. Those available options.
Yeah, there's quite a few right now.
Now, yes. All right, so I'm not getting insurance for this. This is the alternative health, the Ministry of Health, that seeks to replace the old system.
Here's the thing.
Do I join something, or how does that work?
So here's the thing about insurance, right? The insurance game in America is really a harvesting game. And I mean, they work all of the algorithms against you to maximize their profits and minimize their payouts. So when people put money in insurance, it's not going to help your healthcare. It's going into an investment vehicle. But then off of the returns from that investment vehicle, they then pay the doctors for, and then they've got to still go and negotiate with the doctors, right? They've still got to go and then set up connection with the people that actually provide services. Yeah. So when it comes to the premiums that are paid on insurance, that's just a money-making operation. That has nothing to do with health care. And they set up the pricing and the exorbitant rates of everything in the country to put people in so that everybody's afraid to not have insurance in America, because what would happen if you break your arm in America and you don't have insurance, right? You've got over 250,000 people that go into medical bankruptcy every year in America because they have either no insurance or they're underinsured. Something happens and they can't, and they're stuck, right? So, but here's the thing: what do you need in this situation? You need somebody with a skill set that can actually treat you.
Our dog Ben's is barking is barking at your dogs because he can hear him through the earphones.
Yeah,
and so he's joining you. He's saying something.
He just leaped off the couch when he first heard that bark.
He's not sure where those barks are coming from. See, he's talking to your dogs right now.
Hey, Benson. He was so cute the other day, too. There was a commercial on with some dogs on the television. And he went up to the television. He was, like, looking at it. And he was, like, jumping up, like, yeah, I'm a dog, too. Sorry, just a little aside.
No, but he was barking, you know, he heard yours in the background there.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, I would be able to join a collective, a thing, pay a fee every month or do something, and then I'd have access to this health care at a very low cost, and I could get prescriptions or whatever I needed. And, you know, I don't need to deal with big pharma and the big machine, right? That's basically it in a nutshell.
The
well, yeah, we're
wait.
Well, there's a few. There's going to be a lot more that goes along with this than they've not been used to being healthy, Seth. I mean, most one in four in America have two or more maladies in their systems. People in the country, when it comes to energy, when it comes to their well-being, they're not healthy.
Right.
And as a nation,
that's correct.
We've been just, our health has been destroyed. So really, you know, when you start having a system where the motivation of the underlying system itself is for people's health and well-being, and this is why too, you know, we go here into humanity, body, mind, spirit. There's a reason for that, because we actually have to deal with the entire person. We actually have to deal with the wholeness of who we are, not just my toe hurts or my you know, I've got a pain in my knee, right?
Yeah.
Right? So in that regard, you know, we've got to, because actually addressing some of the physical stuff is going to be easier. But mental side of what people have gone through, think about how much falsehood and destruction and things that we've been taught that are wrong. Yeah. And then on the spiritual side, how damaged people are, and that manifests in their body. So there's going to be a lot of pieces that have to be addressed as simultaneous as we go forward with a system like this.
You know,
but in the short term,
yeah.
You know, the urgent care aspect and dealing with what's 90% of what people deal with on a regular basis, those things we're going to be able to address and scale very quickly.
So what they can do is this, these healers, they can sign up with you to provide care, and then you provide the architecture, the you know, websites, the connection, the... You know, so that allows all these healers to have these patients that may be coming from around the nation, right? That that they could be from anywhere, and they would be able to get health care alternatively, and not really deal with you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield or you know HMO insurance or you know Medicare, any of that, right? So they would be able to get treatment without, like I say,
having... So what we need, we don't need insurance, we need assurance, right? We need assurance for when people actually have something that needs to be dealt with in their health and their well-being.
Okay.
So with regards to insurance, the insurance model, we'll probably, we won't actually have a requirement for that in the long run. I mean, the short term, there may be just some things that have to be under catastrophic cover for a while until the system itself gets built out. Because here's the thing. It's going to be the people themselves that are going to be building this out with the skill sets we already have in the country. We already have everything we need in America to do something like this.
I see. So if you have Medicare.
There's already.
If you have Medicare and you can.
Well, Medicare is installed in 2026, Seth.
Okay, so
Medicare is installed.
Well, whatever.
Social Security solving by 2035.
Okay,
so you actually have to have.
Okay, well, maybe. You know, okay, so you're going to be dealing with insurance probably, and whatever people have been used to dealing with, but then you're going to provide care that is not just care for the ailment, but you're talking about, you know, a ministry. You're talking about spiritual. You're talking about treating the whole person. Then it's more of a, you know, a different approach.
It's all of it. So think about most church buildings and most church settings. They do a sermon for you know, half a day once a week. Well, what are those places used for the rest of the time? You know, so there's a lot of other things that could and should be these spaces can be used for.
Yeah,
we're talking about, you know, overhaul.
Okay, see, here's the thing.
When we start having.
What a great idea.
Yeah, when we start moving in the sovereignty.
Go ahead.
It's moving. It's moving as
quick. Yeah, I'm, quick.
There's some tremendous people.
I think you're, you know.
I'm really excited that so many people, Govinda, yourself and many others, doctors, people who have, you know, rejected this whole scam, they're really trying to help people. They're setting up all of these online help centers where it's about wellness. It's not about, you know, perpetuating the lie. It's not about absolutely not helping people, hurting people. That's what's been so shocking about the entire medical establishment, how many have gone along with the lies and are actually turning over to AI for quote-unquote solutions that are not solutions. And so many doctors have gone along with just taking the money and actually killing people. It's like, what? You know, this is first do no harm. Didn't anyone think of that?
I've had talks with a number of doctors. I've said this several times. No one has refuted me on this, but I've said that in America, the medical license in America is the James Bond license.
Yeah,
and what I mean by that,
is that in America,
the medical license, it is not a correlation that if you have a medical license that you will keep your Hippocratic Oath. It is not a one-to-one correlation at all. What it is a license is permission to do something that would otherwise be illegal. That's
illegal.
What a license is.
Yeah.
So in that regard, what you have had, what's happened in America, okay, is that people have done things under medical licenses in that country that they would otherwise go to jail for, but they've been given a pass because they fit it with a medical license. Now, here's the thing about that. There are definitely doctors and healers out there that carry their medical licenses, done everything that they can to try to help and save their patients. That's there. But you also got a lot of people running around that are use those medical licenses to do tremendous harm. Mm-hmm. And that's the first part of their oath, is to do no harm.
Right.
So this is why when people come into the Ministry of Health, all the doctors and healers, you got to retake your oaths before you come in. And you have to keep your oath. And if you don't keep your oath, you're out. You can't stay in there. So it is not a place for the business of medicine and these medical butchers. It is a place for true doctors and true healers that come in with the people that actually want to be healed. And those are the ones that will have the privilege to be able to help people in their time of need. It is not, it's going to be a complete reversal of the entire things that people have been dealing with up until now.
Wow. That sounds fantastic. And that's born out of this, you know, the reveal of this whole globalist plan of squelching us all. And then you've come up with a solution that our systems are corrupt, and so we need a new one. That sounds, I mean, it's a big challenge, but I think a lot of people would be very interested in how you, when care starts being provided, I think people are going to be very interested in that, you know, and how you approach. I'd like to hear more about, well, obviously you're going to take an approach like, I think, that's not going to be an allopathic approach. It's really going to be, it's not going to be a pharmakia approach. It's going to be obviously a more holistic approach. Is that right?
Well, here's the thing. It is going to be objectively verifiable what works for the people. So, you know, the allopathic approach has its place in some regards, but there's medical disciplines that are around the world that have been diminished in the States that are very beneficial to people. I'll give you an example. Homeopathy is the second largest medical practice in the world. In the world,
right,
the second largest medical practice in the world. Yeah. But yet in America, they put homeopathy next to the breath mints at CVS, and they tell you, oh, if you mix some Tic Tacs, and people don't understand it. They don't know what it is. They don't understand the interconnections of the energy in the body system. They don't understand the dynamics of it. People take things. They do, oh, this is supposed to help your headache. No, it doesn't work like that. It's an actual discipline that people go to study for a very long time before they actually treat people. And it's very powerful when it's done right. That's just one thing. Now, here's the thing about homeopathy. It's very low cost. But you got to have a skilled practitioner to work with. But it's very low cost because the only cost is in the skill of the practitioner. The remedies are extremely cheap comparatively.
Right. Now,
and
you gotta
actually,
you got to get used to the idea that
that's just your
body.
So there's, now, that's that's old school stuff.
Yeah,
frequency based healing, things around water. I mean, the kind of stuff that I'm
water.
Actually that's coming across my desk is incredible what's actually out there. And this is why we have to have protected private domain spaces to do this, is because a lot of these things are bad for the business of medicine because people get well.
Okay.
And so so the people themselves is up so that they can actually.
See, I dealt with homeopathy a little bit before. And, you know, the first thing I noticed about it was that, you know, just because, like you say, you have a headache, you don't go for the strongest, whatever it is, you know, 3X or 4X. You're trying to take, encouraging your body to heal itself, right? So you take a little bit of whatever it is.
If you're going to do homeopathy, you need to actually have a practitioner that does a consult with you that then can because it's like an onion, right? So if you got so many layers and somebody working with it will take time. So I mean, I've been doing, for example, even for myself, I've done courses in homeopathy.
You sound great.
And they go over months.
How are you feeling? Months. Good. Even though everything's
I feel amazing.
You're at the top of your game.
It's tremendous. Yeah.
You know, I did it before with a practitioner. And I felt the best I had ever felt, but I also, along with that, I was not drinking, I wasn't really toxifying, you know what I mean? I was using the homeopathy to really get better and eliminating things, that even coffee, I would have tea instead, you know, just, you know, anything I could do to not eating bad foods or, you know, it all kind of goes together, you know, the homeopathy, the good food, in other words, when I say good food, I mean not processed food. So
there are elements which you can do to help the process, right? So, for example, when you're going through a treatment protocol, you may drop some caffeine, you may drop the alcohol, here's the way I figure it to be: if you're going to do something, you might as well do it well, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
If you want to process, work with your practitioner and go for it. And then, but for me was part of it too. It was like, okay, so during the times that I was doing a course in homeopathy, I would skip the caffeine. Now, you know, you go through your initial withdrawals because you're used to having 2-4 cups a day. But once you kind of get off of that, you can taper it.
I still have some of that great Ceylon tea we got from you. It's like the best tea in the world.
It really
folks,
is.
Folks, you have no idea how spoiled we are. Govinda had like the best. What was that tea called? That was T-Sips.
T-Sips.
And I'm telling you, hopefully that'll come back too as part of this, because that was like, it may be impossible now, but it was a great tea. The best. The best.
Well, it's you know, all of this stuff. Actually, so that's another big part of the whole healing modalities is permaculture food and our establishing food supplies, clean energy, accessible. You know, there's so much that's going into this. Here's the thing. At the same time that all these things that are happening and the worlders are having their plans and they're trying to do this stuff, all they have, here's what they have. They have propaganda machines. They have and media outlets that they control. They've got these evil slaver money supply systems. They've got some blackmail on some key people here and there.
Sure.
And the various agenda that they're trying to pull together. That's it. Mm-hmm. We have the numbers. We have the people. We're the ones that do the work. We're the ones that take decisions. We actually don't need them. They need us. And when we shake the parasites off, which every host has the ability to do, you remember the word. The word was the elite are replaced by the elect, right? The elite are replaced by the elect.
I love that. Yeah, I forgot that
word. We're going into that. The elite are replaced by the elect.
Okay, folks, you're going to get a quiz on this. This is it. The elite are replaced by the elect. That is, well, then, you know, I guess that would be, you know, we may go through a time of some real destruction, but we know from looking at the Bible, we know from looking at Revelation, there's so many parallels to the fall of Babylon, which is obviously coming very soon. meaning the financial system of the world, the system, the beast system by which we all trade between countries and between other peoples and all that. It's this beast system that's really located in America, right? It's Wall Street. It's the big banks. It's also international, but it's definitely kind of rooted here. I mean, I'm seeing us heading to that fall of Babylon, and of course we know that after that is the return of Christ. And there's some things that are in there in the scriptures about a third of the sea, a third of the people, you know, a lot of death. But out of all of that, and when finally the system goes kaput, that's it, and everyone's upset, that's when the ultimate solution comes. I can't tell you when that's going to happen, but I can tell you what some friends of mine that are really into the timing thing, you know. And, like, for example, Mike Horsey, good friend, and I want to contact him again, see what he thinks. But he had 2028 as he thought would be the year where the big wrap-up, the return of Christ. You know, he's not completely sure on it, but, I mean, that's kind of where people are, you know, some people are looking at 2000. He had a reason for that. And I forget what the reasons were now. But they were sound, of course. They were biblical and sound. And you know, I'm like, well, shoot, that's not that far away. Isn't it interesting how that's kind of, you know, the timing of the return of Christ and the timing of their 2030 agenda may be similar. They think they're going to have a 1,000-year reign of Lucifer. I don't think they can get another year in, really. But then we're talking about, you know, the return of Christ, i.e. to rule and reign, i.e. adjudication, i.e. you know, the meek inherit the earth. I mean, that complete topsy-turvy shift. And we're coming to a head. It's like two trains going at each other, right? There's them with their little globalist agenda, which is going to go nowhere. If they got their way totally, it would fail. Okay? They would fail. Because fundamentally, there is no reason to sustain life if we're not of God.
They lose.
If you have rejected God, there's really, you know, if we were gone, you know, the people of God were gone, the people that answered the call and have been following Jesus and following the word, following the way, if we were all gone, there would be no reason for God to sustain the earth if there was nobody on the earth to remember God. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there would be no reason to sustain you think God would sustain anti-God? The only reason God even makes it, you know, doable, even makes a way now, is because he's making a way for his people, you know, to be able to successfully face whatever it is they need to face, which then is glorifying the Most High God. Because everything we're talking about, including what Govinda is talking about, is a miracle of God. Even the idea that Govinda got, the Ministry of Health, and all these great things that are coming out of this time of persecution, but it's also a time of ignorance, tremendous ignorance. Because if you don't have God as a goal, if you want to be a God yourself and ascend, what's the point? There really is no point in going on with this. This externalization of reality that we have, this little kind of temporary externalization, isn't real. If that's not what real reality is, real reality is when we go home. So what this is it's not tenable if it isn't for God's people. I mean, that's why he made it. And for man that he made to be, you know, stewards of the earth, and not people that would refuse to worship the Most High God, refuse to, you know, worship meaning acknowledge, you know, see God for what he is. See God as he is in this situation equals worship, right? And so without that, what would be there'd be no connection. There'd be no point, would there? So I would predict that there would be no, whatever this is, earth and all that, there would be no this, because it would be irrelevant then if they got their way, meaning. So that is a positive, you know, take on it that you could take to the bank. If we're not here, God's not in it. And that's just, you know, and they know that. You know what? Those people, those sorcerers on that side, those witches and all that that are running everything over there. They know that because they have to parasitically suck off us to get any life whatsoever. That's why they have all these, you know, sacrifices going and wars and abortions and this and that and death everywhere, because death is how they feed. They're going to feed to the, you know, the basically the system is basically a cannibal system, and it cannibalizes itself until there's nothing left, and then it, you know, implodes and dies. So,
well, it's very encouraging to me to see, like, Senator Ron Johnson holding these hearings with people in the know who are speaking out. I mean, that is, like, what's going on, and it's not being acknowledged by basically the MSM or any, they just, like, well, maybe if we just don't talk about it. That
Trish, nothing's going to be acknowledged by the MSM. Let's get that straight, Trish.
Come on.
Yeah. Let's get that straight.
They're
not going to report on anything.
I was sharing the exciting news about that to somebody, and they like, why are you sending me this information? You know, like,
come, Trish,
don't do that. You know, like, please don't.
Your entire family is jabbed. Your entire family goes along with whatever the government says. My friends that I have on the West Coast, and I'm not going to say who they are, I'm just going to say they're scared to death. In fact, one of the, you know, they're scared to leave their own home because they're afraid of, you know, of the lawlessness out there. And who's made them feel afraid? The television, the news. It's one big afraid cycle to make us afraid. I'm telling you, fear is the thing we got to get over. He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world.
Amen.
I'll take that. If I have to repeat that every 20 seconds until it finally gets burned into my brain, I will. Therefore, I will step out in confidence. I'm not going to be afraid to go out there. Why should I be? He that's in me is greater than he that's... Unless God says, no, not today. A lot of times he does say that. Don't go in there. Don't go over there. Don't go on that trip. Don't, you know... You know, there is that steering, but sometimes there is, yes, go. And so, you know, we just really have to, you know, oh, ye of little faith, right? Peter trying to walk on the water with Jesus, he realized, oh, my God, it's working. And then he didn't believe it, and he fell in. And, you know, it's, and the storm comes, and, you know, and Jesus quells the storm, and it's like, you guys all thought you were doomed. Oh, ye have little faith again. Why didn't you? You didn't think I could quell the storm? Do you know who I am? You know, and so here we go again. And we've got to stop this. I tell you, this is the time where we need to go to that other, you know, that next dimension level.
Let's pray.
Oh, Trish.
Yes.
What a nice segue.
Yes, let's pray.
I want to ask Patrick one question, though, before we move on. Are you still, Patrick, doing animal husbandry and you know, farming and things like that? You know, preparing?
Well, I think we always got it prepared. We've always prepared and sourced out your own food, sourced out your own meat and vegetable because, you know, they can do things on it. And also, I think the most important, because of shortage. If there's going to be shortage, you need to be able to have something at home because you can't count on, you know, like think about this right now. Uh-huh. There's no Tylenol for kids. You know, if they get sick, there's no Tylenol for kids available nowhere.
Wow.
You know, so you gotta prepare for that. And that's going to happen more and more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really zapping the supply chain. They have been all along. That's part of their plan is to really mess it up so that nobody can get what they need.
Well, but Patrick was taking classes on butchering meat.
Doing that, it's good.
Yeah,
it's really good to take classes on that, how to do gardening and everything else. So you have the knowledge, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
and you know what? The one thing about gardening and. It's like you plant it and then you see it after at the end of the season. You're like, oh, wow, I did that.
Yeah.
Like, you've done it.
It's pretty neat.
Right?
Pretty neat.
We got a small garden here. It could be bigger, though, this next year, but I'm looking into, you know, really.
We had a no fruit season this past year, which, you know, when we.
That happens here, though.
When, if the blossoms are out, they're all out.
And then it freezes.
And then it freezes, or we have high winds or something, they strip the tree.
Yeah.
Well,
that's not with fruit, but we do get, you know, tomatoes, corn, you know, onions.
Potatoes.
You know, potatoes.
Lettuce.
Yeah, lettuce. We get all that, but we just need to really maybe expand that a little bit. Because I understand that the produce is not going to be arriving there by the time summer comes, by this next summer here in America.
Get some chickens.
We're going to be seeing those kinds of shortages where you can't get, you know, fruit or radishes or, you know, onions or cucumbers. They won't be really available. So.
You know what? You know what, Dev? I got two questions. My first question is, you know, what? And that's for everybody. What do you guys see is going to happen in the next 6 months to 2 years? And what's going to be the best mean of exchange?
Well, it looks like it's very quickly, you know, they're pushing the digital. They want the digital currency, but they want to control it. They don't want Bitcoin or anything like that going on, but they...
But it's too late for that. It is going on. They can't stop it.
Yeah. It's really a very unique time to be alive because all these things are now available. The Mark of the Beast wasn't available previously, you know, like... To install it would have been like a real problem. And now people are just signing up to get their body chipped and become you know have their whole life. Well, I heard a guy. I was picking up some food the other day at a restaurant, and a guy came in. He was very polite. He opened the door for me. You know, a real gentleman. And he and the he was picking up some food to go too, and he asked them if they took. The Apple credit, and the girl says no we don't, and they were both talking about how much nicer it would be if everybody took it, you know, and wouldn't it be great if, gosh, I'd like to have, you know, everything on my phone. I mean, I like having everything on my phone, and then sure. I guess if I lose my phone, I
put it in your head,
you know, they're
Neuralink.
He was like just a regular guy, but he's totally accepted of, you know, like
So what you're saying to Patrick's question is, you believe that most people that are going to take the chip and this and that and go along with the whole thing, right?
No, I don't say that's not the answer at all.
Because I can see them rounding up Christians.
I think you're going to have digital money that is not in their system, not in their credit score. They want everything on the credit score so that they can shut you down at any time. It's going to have to be, you're going to have to go independent. You're going to have to be, I think, I was listening to a guy who is an expert
on
the Bitcoin.
What's your prediction?
Mine?
Yeah, that's what he was asking. What do you think it's going to be like next
the best
18 to 24 months?
The best way of trade is going to be like the people that have something are going to have to be trading in real goods and also
so barter
other forms of digital money besides what the government's going to try to provide.
Yeah, my prediction is that it's going to keep dividing, Patrick. I think it's going to get a lot worse before it even has an inkling of getting better. It may just keep getting worse all the way to the point where it collapses and the Lord returns. I mean, if we're in that trajectory, you know what I mean? And that would be over the next, we're 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. So that'd be over the next 5 years, 5 or 6 years.
Well, the globalists, they want by 2030, they want everyone to be in their smart cities, and they want everybody to be chipped, and they want everybody to be on the credit score system.
Yeah, but we all know it won't work. even the CBDC that are talking about, they won't work. Even that person that went, oh, it'd be nice.
We know that. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it'll work either.
We know that no matter what, when people start using their phone and their phones are going to be messing up and they won't have, or people can, or the government can take money out of your bank account without you knowing, people are going to be, I don't want this anymore. We know that.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, we know that.
We already don't want it.
It's really, the thing about these people, though, is, okay, number one, they're stupid. When I say stupid, I don't mean to underestimate the enemy. What I mean by that is they don't have that extra intelligence that comes from life in the spirit, right?
You're right. What they're doing is convenience. They want convenience.
Right. They want
convenience. Once you buy back convenience.
Right, right. Well, they want to tempt us all into this, you know, easy world where they're going to give you an income. You don't have to do anything. You can lay around and go into the metaverse. You can sit there all day having your adventures in Cyberland. All I know, we'll just do this until. Meanwhile, we'll just kill you with bad food. But you know they're gonna make their try, and I think so. Over the next 24 months, I would say they're gonna, you know, they're gearing up to really go for it, and that might include a combination of new pandemics, you know, obviously frequencies they're using to create diseases as well, and they're gonna continue to, to try to push their way, to bully their way. But we all know that bullies are eventually rejected. People don't like bullies. And if all they can do is try to, as Govinda said, shoehorn it in and bludgeon it in and hammer it in, you know, it's not going to succeed. We know it's not going to succeed. I can just tell you right now, there will be no New World Order.
No.
There will be no
culture. No, it won't succeed.
Yes, sir.
It won't succeed. Go ahead. You know, what I see, Patrick, in a word ahead is pain.
Yes.
I think the world is going to suffer great, great pains. But I think the body of Christ will be exempt largely from that pain. We may feel it peripherally because of those we love.
Yes.
Yet in the body of Christ, there will be an upwelling of joy, a fulfillment, encouragement in the spirit that we will hardly be able to contain. And it is this encouragement, this infilling of the spirit, that will cause, you know, the world to turn, if it's going to turn at all. Or it may be, like you said, Zeb, it may simply be a downhill slide until the return of our Lord. But if there is a turn, it will be led by the people of God. And for that, they must wake up.
You know, Revelation 19, which is, I just keep seeing this in my mind, you know, Jesus. You know, they could have all their horses and sickness and death and the green horse, pale horse. The war horse and all this, they've had all these horses running. But Jesus comes in this, you know, in the symbolism of the horse, with a vesture dipped in blood, coming with a sword to put down the wicked. I mean, this is the first thing, it's not like he just kind of lands here in a spaceship and everything is groovy and all lovey-dovey. He's coming with a sword and a vesture dipped in blood that says, the word of God.
Yep.
It says the word of God. He you know, identified already in the first chapter of John. He is the word of God. Now it's written in blood, and he's coming to set the record straight and to tie the wicked down in the pit and to tie Satan down and tie all the minions down and to rule and reign and to set things right. Now it comes after a great calamity, but it seems that Jesus himself, at least the way it's portrayed, which of course you have to kind of see through all the imagery and, you know, try to, you know, translate it somehow. You know, that Jesus is not coming, you know, to bring peace. He's coming with a sword of justice. And, he's coming with he's saying the meek will inherit the earth. He's, you know, there will be, he will rule with a rod of iron. And a rod of iron means that, you know, if you have a rod of iron, that means nobody can go against that rod of iron. That's a prophecy of God saying that this is going to happen. And the wicked, they call it the great feast day of the earth, a feast day because the birds eat the wicked who are on the ground dead from this onslaught of Jesus and all the saints and everybody that's been wronged and all the prophets and all the injustice. It all comes at once. And then there's this, almost instantly, this rule by this rod of iron, this word of God. And it's a bloody affair. Because, you know, the wicked don't learn. The only way they learn is through violence. They don't learn through reasoning. You know, they don't reason is the reason. So, the only way that Jesus can really handle it, the only way that God foresaw it was that the return would be bloody. And the system would be ended, the beast system. It would end. The Babylon would fall of its own iniquity, of its own weight of corruption. And then there would be this time of, well, I won't say peace because it's really, subduing Satan and tying all these demons up in the pit and all this other stuff, which symbolizes, the wicked. It's the vengeance that God takes on the wicked. The people that have, not just hated God, but taken that hatred out on children. And this is something the Lord can't stand. If you want to get God's wrath on the earth pretty quick, I'd say go after these children. And the wrath of God is very specific. You know, the people that do things like that, they have karmic consequences.
Well, look what Biden said yesterday. You know,
well,
he's saying that people that are against, the children becoming a different sex, they're evil.
They're just gelding the males. That's what they do when they conquer people. Anyway, the Lord will put this down. I do believe the Lord is justice. I do believe the Lord is asking us to go through this time of tribulation. I think we all agree we're in tribulation, right? This has got to be it. Or Patrick, is this tribulation? Well, take it to you. What do you think? Did I lose you? Hello, Patrick, Govinda, Charles.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was on mute there.
Okay, I'm right here. Right here.
So, I was talking on mute there. So, my thing is this. So, my conclusion is there's gonna be some very hard time coming, which is already hard.
Yeah, great.
But we still haven't answered the question of what's gonna be the best. I know there's bartering, but mean of exchange. You think the dollar is gonna hold up? You think the
it'll be digital. It'll be digital.
The U.S. has got a digital currency.
But that's my point. I think people won't go to the digital. They're gonna turn to something else.
Well, Bitcoin is still free. That's the only one that
Can I chime in on this?
Yeah.
Can I chime in on this for a second?
No.
Okay.
You can't.
So here's the thing.
I'm gonna block you now.
Okay. Okay. So here's the thing, right? Any people have to have sound money, right? They have to have sound money, and so there's a monetary principle. You guys can look it up. Called Gratian's Law, which basically means that if you've got, like, say somebody gave you a silver dollar, and you had a $1 bill, and you had to go in the store and buy something for a dollar, which one of those things would you give to the cashier? Which one of those things would you keep in your pocket? Well, you'd give the cashier the dollar bill, you keep the silver dollar in your pocket. Why? Because you know that the silver dollar intrinsically has more value, right? Yeah, so even though they both have the same face value, the other one has more intrinsic value. Now so here's what's going to happen, is that good money is going to push out bad money. So what you got to keep in mind on, so whether it's in the form of digital or the form of barter, that's not necessarily the right question. The question is going to be what systems are going to be there that have and are backed by real value. And then it's going to be whatever mechanisms that allow for the people to trade in that value.
Right.
Those are going to be the things that people end up using. So here's what's going to happen with the government, right? The government has destroyed the fiat currency system of the dollar. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to figure out how to keep people, because that's a slaving instrument, how to keep people engaged in that slavery of continuing to participate in it even while it's going down and going away. There's going to be other options that come up, and it's going to be a mix. People will have different things that they come up with that are going to be a mix. But what happens is is that whatever it is that people end up using that is backed by real assets with intrinsic value that is transparent and honesty, and if they, whatever those things are that reach a critical mass of users, that is going to be what people end up using at. And that can happen very quickly.
Well,
that
I've been
can
watching,
happen in a matter of months.
I've been watching El Salvador, you know, and they went completely over to, you know, Bitcoin, which is backed by money because it's based on, you know, how many Bitcoins there are versus money invested. That's how you arrive at the value that it is now. It's because, you know, there's not a, it's the opposite of the dollar. There's only so many Bitcoins. And the reason I say Bitcoin is because that was the first one. And I've listened to a lot of Max Keiser, you know, talks on it, you know what I mean? And his, and how he differentiates it between that and all these other digital currencies, these cryptos. But El Salvador has been doing just fine. And I keep checking on them. And it looks like their economy is expanding now. And they're the first nation to actually take up Bitcoin as their currency. Because, you know, the United States, if they have a digital currency, it'll be backed by nothing. You know, they'll steal it. They'll find a way of inflating it and screwing it up. So Bitcoin may be a better value. I mean, you know, I'm still looking into the cryptos as alternative. The other alternative is gold and silver will always have value. But notice, too, though, how gold, during a time of the greatest inflation since 1982, and gold has stayed exactly at the same price. Now, gold is a commodity. Gold is a, so with inflation, gold should be going up at least 10% a year. It should be up at $5,000 an ounce, and yet they keep it at $1,500 an ounce. How does that happen? You know, the people that have a hold of it. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. I know it's worth a lot
more.
It happens through
the paper markets. I mean, it happens through the paper markets. So right now, if you look at the silver markets, well, the silver commodities market versus the actual physical market for silver are two different things.
Yeah.
If you actually wanted to take possession of physical silver, different thing. COMEX has been running out of supply. The COMEX has maybe 5 months left.
Silver should be $50 an ounce.
Yeah.
As soon as they run out of it in stock, it will be. That's the thing. As soon as the physical supply, as soon as people keep taking delivery, because that's the way that you manipulate the markets is through the paper markets.
A good way of getting silver, as you know, is if I like this. If you can manage to get a bag or half a bag of junk silver. Now, what that is dimes and quarters and stuff before, was it 64, where they took the silver out of the coins? These are coins that have silver, but they're junk coins. They're circulating coins, but they're worth, like, if you take that bag of silver into anywhere in the world, you'll get exactly the silver price for that entire bag of silver coins. And you can also buy junk, like silver dollars in junk. But if you want to barter and you have like quarters that are real silver, you know, from your silver bag, that might be a way to go at a time of real financial stress. It'd be bartering. But, you know,
Gresham's Law says that legally overvalued currency will tend to drive legally undervalued currency out of circulation. Gresham's Law originated as an observation of the effects of metallic currency debasement, but also applies in today's world of paper and electronic money. In the absence of effectively enforced legal tender laws, such as in hyperinflationary crises or international commodity and currency markets, Gresham's Law operates in reverse.
So it drives illegitimate currency down, right? Drive the dollar down.
Yeah. So unless they can force you to use, if they can force you to use their slave tool, that's basically what they're saying. If they can force you to use their slave tool, it won't apply. But as soon as free market operations actually take effect, which happens when systems break down, then when systems break down, people will get rid of the bad money and they'll keep the good. Trade in the good money. They'll use the good money in the
With Bitcoin.
So okay, I'll give you an example right now in Sri Lanka, okay?
Yeah.
So over here, people don't want the rupee. Why? Because the rupee is the worst currency you possibly could have. So even when you go down south, people are quoting on their menus, and the rooms are quoting in dollars. Because the dollar is a better currency than the rupee. Mm-hmm. They don't know what's happening to the dollar, but the dollar is a better currency than the rupee. But then as time goes on, somebody handed me a flyer the other day from an appliance place, and this appliance shop had all the stuff down there, but there was no prices.
Yeah.
Even list the prices because the prices change so fast.
Well, I think it's going to end up being Bitcoin in the future, where you go down the menu and it's all in Bitcoin. You know, I think Kaiser's bet may be right. That may be the only one that survives of the separate currencies from government currencies, but I think it will beat the whatever the United States comes up with or anybody else.
The thing about any of these things is adoption and usage, right?
Right.
The more people that adopt it,
yeah,
the more people that use it, the better.
Internationally, the dollar is already getting dumped in various countries, and it's, you know.
But just about
like
a month ago, Trish,
the yuan is now
the dollar was at parity with the euro about 2 months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And now the euro has gone ahead again, and I hate that, but yeah, Bitcoin is. My prediction for the future, the best money would be right now, not knowing anything else about anyone else's inventions or whatever, I would say Bitcoin has the best chance of becoming that alternative currency with lots of countries dealing with it and welcoming it. And, you know, it's backed by itself. In other words, it's not going to be a higher or lower value than what it's actually worth. You know what I mean? Because of the finite nature of Bitcoins.
Well,
so,
then you have the monetary.
Well, let's face
big wigs
in the future
saying
it's all going to be digital.
We need our own. We need our own.
Yeah, but
we need to get everybody on ours.
Like Govinda said, if they don't adopt it, then you know they're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm thinking, you know, and I know that my prediction.
Central bank digital currencies is the worst idea in the history of monetary policy. Here's why.
Right.
It has everything that's wrong with fiat,
right,
combined with everything that's wrong with crypto, combined into the hands of the most corrupt and the stupidest and the most ill-informed people making the decisions behind it.
Yeah.
It is a dumb idea. It's a non-starter. So anybody that actually, and you know what? Here's the other thing too. Nobody's asking for it. There's nobody out there asking for central bank digital currencies, period. They're just trying to bring this thing out. The people aren't asking for it.
You know,
the people are saying,
except
oh,
that guy in the restaurant the other night. He's all down with it. He's like ready to go.
No, listen, they're going to do it because they're bankrupt. And so they figure this will be another way of.
They're going to do it, but nobody wants it. It's going to be a big fat flop.
It's a way to keep them
it's
out of declaring bankruptcy. It's just another plot. They're like that Bankman-Fried guy, you know, trying to pull one over on the people with this digital dollar.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the same thing.
Talk about Stanford's had a really bad run, huh? Both of his parents were Stanford professors, and then
MIT.
You had a Stanford person
at MIT
over there doing the CDC jab kids. I mean, Stanford, dude, their endowment is going to get plundered when all these cases come out against these guys.
Yeah.
Best thing that could happen to this country would be to shut all the universities down and just have trade schools and make American kids go learn a trade.
Breaking up a little there.
Yeah, I think we stopped all over your call.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, guys, let's pray.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Oh, it's so good to be back, guys. I'm so happy to have this going again. I so missed it the last two. And I'm so glad we're addressing this, because a lot of people out there are having a hard time understanding these fast changes that are going on. And I think this prayer meeting kind of helps us all to kind of get grounded and stabilized, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. So I'm happy you all are back, and you know, I'm just...
Thank you. Thank you, Zach.
Yes.
I'm just very happy.
Hi, John.
There's John and Violet. Yeah. from Pakistan.
We are so thankful that we miss you a lot. And it's a great opportunity that today we are listening a wisdom talking and the beautiful things we learned today. Especially, I want to share a prophecy about the next year. The Lord show me and Violet that 23 is a just I see that in Vian I see that one man he is a fully healthy but he is lying on the floor naked floor and I asked the Spirit of the Lord that why he is sleeping in this way. He's died. The Holy Spirit says, no, he is not died. He is a hopeless. And who is he? The Spirit of the Lord says that it's a church. And the Lord asked me, the Spirit of the Lord asked me to open the eyes of this man. So I opened the eyes, and at once he was stand up. So I am just surprised for this incident, and I ask the Lord that what has happened. So the Lord says that 23 next year is a time that we will wake up ourselves, also our church. I being a humble servant of you, that this is the Lord that show me for next year. So you are a head of our team, and I believe that we will think about this, and we will just make a plan that how we will open the eyes of the church all over the here in Pakistan in different a suggestion that we will work on a home church, because we established home church in Pakistan, five families, six families, eight families, and they are newborn church, and they are new convert Christian.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So
Hallelujah.
Just to gather in a one place, and daily they will pray for each other, and they know the needs of everyone. So it's my suggestion that we will also establish a home church near to us. Even we will give a target to ourselves that in this year we will change, we will just make a ten church from home church to five churches, one church. So this is my suggestion, humble sir. So it's not a suggestion from the man of God. So Violet and me, we are agree for So we just share with you.
Ah,
nice,
beautiful.
Does this mean that the eyes will open all over the world? John, that there would be an awakening of all the churches. They would reform, they would repent. What will happen? Will it be all of them, or some of them, or what do you think, John?
Already we have a life, and actually, the Lord Jesus is always with us, all the time.
Yes.
We are both nasty and violent. We always just we cannot survive without the Lord.
No, no, I know that. So what I'm saying is your vision, your prophecy, your vision that the Lord showed you, was this the church meaning the world church or in Pakistan?
Actually, the Lord just speak to me. It's all over the world.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit speak to me that this is all over the world. You have a duty that open the eyes.
Yes.
Of church, that they will not lose the hope.
Mm.
They don't need to lose the hope. The only thing people need to do is really stop, start obeying God and not the state, not your country, not the government, but start obeying God, you know. And I think with COVID, I think some of these churches actually started obeying God over the state. You know, that's where it really began. And maybe what you're saying now is they're just going to eventually, when things get bad enough, they're going to wake up and say, you know what, going along with this world thing and being, you know, 501c3 and all this stuff, I mean, I don't mean 501c3, the tax break people get, but the tie that binds to the state, you know, so the state believes that it can dictate to the church. And then you also have had, over the centuries, you've had a lot of, you know, corrupt things going on in the church. And as Charles said, it's because the people that manage the church or that run the churches around the world, whether it be Catholic, Protestant, it doesn't matter, they don't believe. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in God. Just look at the Pope today. He doesn't really believe in God. He's like a communist. So, you know, I would love to see the church, the building of the churches, but also the believers themselves waking up to this new power and strength of being powered by the Lord, you know, of not needing anything else. And we can't do anything without the Lord either because, you know, we're on with Jesus, so we don't have the protection of the world, you know, so we need God to protect us or no one will. You know, and so we know that, and we know we're out there, you know, around, you know, the world and around them, and we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens. But I love that idea that in 23, 24, we would have, let's just call it a big revival around the world, everywhere.
A revival.
Yeah, revival. You can't say revival because that means at one point it was good. We've always had a corrupt church in America. That, you know, maybe the early time in America it wasn't, but it eventually, just like the book of Jude, you know, people snuck in and they shouldn't be there. They became pastors and, you know, hundreds of years went by and it just got worse and worse. But now let me ask you another thing, John. Do you see this being the end of this situation? Are we going to see the return of Christ pretty soon, or what do you think?
The days, these are the last days, nobody knows the exact time, but when we will see the difference in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, the Lord is moving, His Spirit is moving everywhere. And just we need that, we will not scared from anything. I'm so impressed by the brother that we are not tired people. Because daily the Spirit of the Lord daily equipped with the new power, new energy. Even I am 64 years old. Sometimes I think that I am 18 years young boy, and I run,
really?
And I go anywhere. I just want to share with you that when I was in police department, I was just a coward person. Even I have a personal bodyguard, even I have authority, everything. But that time, inside, I am coward. But now, the angels of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord with us. So we are equipped. Even we have a no bodyguard, but we have a hope that we have a hope that the Jesus, the Spirit of Lord, always with us. So sometimes this coward man is a now a bravest man in the world. So we go in the Afghan refugees, in the Taliban, in the different areas, in the clean mafias, and in different areas. Even this thinking also, the Lord converted in the orphanage home. So Little Tayyar's orphanage home, this year we have a plan that we will, the kids ask me that we will not eat our food on good food on Christmas Day. We will, this food we will share with the claims slave kids. Mm. So we have a plan. Yes. We'll go there and we will share these things. Our kids will share the personal thing. Even they were orphan, but now they are no more. They are orphan because they have a father, and he is alive, and alive father is a Jesus.
Amen.
So
amen.
The Lord just put a hope in the orphanage home, and really me and Violet, we are surprised that what happened. We are not thinking about, but when we see the a person was lying, and the Lord asked me that you will open this. We have a duty that we will open the eyes even without fear. So this is my little suggestion that the Lord just gave me.
No fear. No fear. Amen.
That sounds good. Okay, well, let's get to praying, everybody. And, Govinda, would you like to kick it off for us? Please.
Yes, all right, let's do this.
All right, brother.
Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you, Father. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for life, for the chance to come together all over this world, this paradigm, this construct, with one another in Jesus' name, in the name that is above every other name, in the name that represents and is the embodiment of the way, the truth, and the life. We come together in Jesus' name, and we are grateful, Father, that we have power in your name, and that we have power, Father God, as your body and your representatives upon this earth at such a time as this, to declare the truth, to speak the truth, to bind that which is intended to be bound here, and to loose that which is to be loosed here. Father, we just, even as we've spoken about all these things going on around the world, Father, we also proclaim that the elite are replaced by the elect. Father, that this is a time, Father, now for all of the plans of these worlders to come to naught, all of them to fail, all of their resources to fall away from them, all of their control constructs to dissipate, all of what they thought they had in wealth to just slip through their fingers and for them to be left with nothing. And Father, at the same time, we know that this is the time that you raise up those that are yours and those that are destined to walk with you and to walk in your power. And so we proclaim that over all of us, even as we complete this year of 2022, and we go into 2023. Father, we do so as your children. We do so proclaiming the works of the Most High. We do so proclaiming that you came to set the captives free. And we walk in that freedom because we've been set free by you. And we also proclaim that freedom over all that will hear, all that will listen, all that will come to the light.
Yeah.
Because, Father, the great power is in us and not in this world. The greater power is with us and not part of this world. We only need to move in the power that you've already put in us. And we will surely see the miracles of the Most High
and everything that we do, think, and say. So we're grateful for that. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we speak solutions over the lives of every person that hears this audio this day. We speak power and strength. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. So we speak that over for everyone, power and love and a sound mind as we go through the end of this year into 2023. Father, and we will open the eyes of the blind so that they can see. We will do the works of the Most High. Father, I just right now in Jesus' name release the resources required and necessary for everyone listening to this call right now to do the works of the Most High. As we take a step, Father, we will see the provision of the Most High on every side. Father, the provision of the Most High will overload us, Father. We won't be able to carry it because there will be so much there. We will just have to just give it away, give it away, give it away, because and just to provide and to help and to bless others, because there will be so much overflowing on every side as we go forward, Father, because we are moving in life and in truth, and rivers of living water are flowing through us, so we have an abundant source. We have no limit. We have no, because we are servants of that which is limitless. We're servants of that which is connected to the source of all things. We are connected to the source of all things. So we move in that in Jesus' name. Father, right now, Father, we do proclaim an end to the control constructs of this world. We proclaim an end to their plans. We proclaim that all of the things that they have sought to do, just like Haman, that they would be hung on their own gallows. The things they intended to do against the people of the Most High, that they would fall prey to their own petards, to their own shenanigans, to their own, there will be recompense for the wicked in this life.
Yes, sir.
The next, Father, in this life, that everyone will see with their own eyes, and will take note, and humanity will learn that there is a God. And they will learn that you settle scores. Father, we also ask that there would be, if at all possible, Father, that there would be, and we know that all things are possible, that there would be cures that would be brought forward to stop this attempted call against humanity.
Yes.
Father, we ask that things would come forward, ideas would come forward, solutions would come forward. A lot of people did things under duress, under ignorance, under pressure, and there's regret, and there's a lot of people that are very stressed and very worried. Father, we just ask that you would bring forward ways that are very cheap, that can scale, and that are widely available, that can just address this and can be made known. And Father, we just ask that that would come forward this year, and that you would save the lives of tens of hundreds of millions of people around the world that are slated for death by these evil workers. Father, we know, Father God, that the times are all in your hands. And so we work for life. We work for, because you came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. So, Father, the thief has come to steal and kill and destroy, and you came to have life and have it abundantly. So we ask that you would restore abundant life, not just life, not just living, but abundant life in your people. Father, I ask that the vision that you give for each and every one of us would burn hot in our spirits this day, and that everyone will move forward in the power that they have in you. Father, we proclaim health, and we proclaim resource and wealth and strength and power in the minds and in the hearts of everyone listening. This Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We are off and running, folks. All right.
Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for being able to spread the word, Lord. Spread the word to people so they can seek in. And then where people are in a situation that, Lord, they will that word will just grow within them, and they will grow strength. Lord, I pray for all the men and women, Lord, and that they will stand. They will stand, Lord. They will stand for you. They will stand for truth. They will stand as a community. They will stand wherever they are, Lord, that you give them the courage and you give them the strength to do that. Lord, and even as you bring people to that place of that the back is against the wall, that they will finally realize, you know, where they are. And then like we always say, the power is within, just like the kingdom lives within, Lord. Lord, I pray that people around the world, you know, prepare themselves the best that they can for what's coming, and people will come together and share and build those communities, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as the evil is growing, Lord, that they will literally eat themselves out, Lord. They will literally collapse in themselves, Lord, that people will see that with their own eyes and they will live it. And Lord, as we're going, we're already into some really difficult time, Lord. I pray that you protect the children around the world, Lord. You protect them. And Lord, even the children will remember this time. They will never want to come back to doing this, Lord. They will want to live the truth and have the truth, Lord. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, for what you have done. And Lord, break down all the system of cartels and drugs and human trafficking. All those systems will all fail, Lord.
Yes.
They will all fail, Lord, that they will not stand.
We see it. Thank you, Lord.
You know, as the enemy prepares their plan and execute the plan, and it will all turn back to them, and everything will collapse, Lord. Lord, we thank you, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I thank you, Father, this morning for this time of prayer, this time of sharing, where we can strengthen in your spirit against the evil one, where we can prepare for the fight that we know is coming. I thank you, my Father, for the strength you have given me in these past few months when I have been under heavy attack. Never once was the idea of giving in entered my mind, because I lived through the power of your spirit. And this morning I come to you full of enthusiasm and joy in what I'm hearing this morning. This vision of John confirmed in the spirit. I have seen the same thing myself. I have prayed for these many years that you open the eyes of your people. But I've come to understand that first they must have their hearts opened before their eyes can see. And so I come to you this morning, Lord, asking you to build your people, renew their hearts, open their hearts that their eyes may see. For I can see a great body of Christ coming together and standing, fighting in the spirit against this evil that is so all-encompassing. Yes. And has corralled us, tries to pigeonhole us into these corners. I come against it in the name of God, in the name of Jesus. I bring all the holy blood behind this prayer, my Father, for your days are coming. This is not their world. This is not their time. This is our world. This is your world. And this will be our time to rise up and proclaim the holiness and the righteousness that you have placed within our hearts. I thank you, Father, for these brethren. They come together at these early hours of the morning to sacrifice, to put all of their lives aside for these few hours and to seek your guidance. Thank you, Father. Strengthen us, guide us in these hours of testing and trial that lie ahead. For we know in you we have the victory. Praise Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah, praise, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we are your people.
Can you turn your phone up a little? Your phone is coming through a little bit thin. Is there a way to get more volume on the phone?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay, we'll keep going then. I mean, okay.
It his phone just shifted. I mean, his microphone or whatever.
It shifted. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, please, Father, listen to our cry, Father. Even Father, we are living in a different countries, Father, different places, Father, and different atmosphere, Father. But Father, we are one in your spirit, Father.
Yes.
Father, we are not thinking about ourselves, Father. Please open the eyes of this church, Father. It's a lazy one, Father. such a fun with the question.
Yes.
But I know that you have authority to use us, Father.
Yes.
Even Father in Pakistan, Father in Afghanistan, Father, there are different projects that we are starting here, Father, but we are not worried about anything, Father, because we know that the power of you is a more powerful after this world in power, Father. Father, break all the chains against your beings, Father. Father, break the all chains of human trafficking, Father. All the women's adultery, Father. Also, we claim that smash everything, Father. And Father, I believe that you are using your kingdom, Father. And Father, today, who are listening, Father, listen the voice of the Jesus, Father, that Jesus. I am the way to see. We believe that your name is only the name that can save us, Father. And today, we are one heart, Father. We are in your soul, Father. We are crying that please open the eyes of the church, Father. And also give a plan that we will just gather in a home, Father, and we will pray daily, Father. And we will discuss our financial problem. We will discuss our spiritual problems, Father. And I believe that you have authority to unite your church, Father.
Yes.
The Satan will not be successful. I believe that when we will pray together, these chains will be smashed forever. And Father, we believe that all the authorities against your people will be failed. Yeah. And Father, next 23 is your year, Father. I believe
Amen. That
a powerful weapons which you want to give us, Amen. And that is the Holy Spirit, Father. And bless us, and Father, more tonight with your Spirit of the Lord. And Father, I believe that we will be more energetic. Father, please, Father, listen our prayers. Father, also, we remember the all new church in Pakistan, Father, of God, Father. We would just claim the slavery in the claims, Father, that it will be...
These chains will Amen. Be broken. We will buy just rescue the people, and we will buy the liberty of these people through your blood and through our money, Father.
Amen.
Father, yes, Lord.
Bless. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's looking good.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing us all together again. We are so grateful to have this time together where we can lift up your word and lift up the spirits of the people that love you and bring light to the challenges that we face. Lord, we ask you to bless these prayers as we go forth, and that we ask you, Lord, to open the eyes like John's vision, open the eyes of the church, open the eyes of the people that want to follow you. Let them be wide open and receive your blessing, receive your truth, receive. Lord, we are thankful for so many things that are happening right now, because there's a crack in the wall of composure of the information that has been strangled. And there is a big crack in truth coming out and getting the people aware that there has been way, way too much disinformation that they call the truth, and it's not the truth. And now the truth is coming forward. Thank you for Elon's purchase of Twitter, because many people in the MSM, they're content to stay in the lie, Lord, and we are grateful that we have this opportunity for people that have been censored, experts in medicine and experts in what is actually going on, that they are allowed to speak again. And they hadn't been for quite some time.
Yes.
And Lord, and that even applies to me, that I am able to speak. Lord, it's so exciting to see the lies being pushed down. And maybe not for everyone, because a lot of people have been brainwashed. Lord, we ask that those people's eyes be open, Lord. We ask that they would see the truth, that they would see you. And Lord, that they would be led by you rather than by the lies of the mainstream media and all of the globalists who want to kill us. And Lord, we are so grateful for our brethren that we can speak today. We are brought together by you to lift you up and lift us up in you, that we may go forth with your plan, with what you want from us, what you want from us, Lord. Help us, give us the words to say to people who are unbelievers, that we may open their eyes, that they might consider reality rather than the lies. Father, today is kind of a weird day in a sense that, you know, we have the former President Trump announcing he's going to make it a big announcement today, Lord. I ask that you fill him with the truth as he makes his announcement, that he will discard the lies, because he has gone along with the lies of Dr. Fauci, et cetera, that whole cabal, and he has not denounced the jabs that they are hurting people with, Lord. I ask that if it be thy will, that he would say that yes, he was lied to, and that we would turn on the great reset in that way. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. And it was kind of awful during the absence when we were away for 2 months. It just seems like 2 days. I mean, time is going so fast, Lord. But thank you for bringing us together again. And I hope we will even add more people going forward, because I receive your word, Lord, that we're going to be expanding in the next 2 years. I think that's the question that we've been asking, and would love to see that. And so I want to back my brother up and say, yes, Lord, I want to agree with this, and I see this, and I see you there as pure light, capable of doing anything that needs to be done. And I've tried to understand why this world is the way it is. I've tried to understand why we have to go through this, and why other people are going through their pain and suffering, and why this has to be. But I understand it at a spiritual level. I may not understand it completely yet, but I'm getting it. Thank you for the new bold spirit of going forth without fear.
Yes, Lord.
And how John is running around now like a child, like a teenager. And thank you for that revival of health that Govinda is talking about. And may this next year be one of revival of health, of just maximizing everything that you've given us, Lord, and that without the fear, that we don't have to retreat into old patterns of failure, Lord, that we need success. And we know the only success that we're going to have is with you. You're our success, Lord. You are success. And I just pray for us to keep going. I pray for the that you bless everyone with health and provision they need to go forward, opportunities to go forward where there may not be any. But, Lord, you always provide. And I know you'll provide for your people. And I just also pray that we will be giving you more credit now. But yes, Lord, I see that in just a little while you will be exploding upon the earth, on everywhere, in the mind of everyone, and there'll be another decision that has to be made. Whether they go with the obvious you, the miracle of you, Lord, or the failure of the world. It's an easy decision for me, but I thank you in Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, yeah.
His name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, thank you. Father, we just wrap this up, and we're grateful, Father, that you hear our prayers. We're grateful that you know and you hear and you see and you direct and you lead and you guide your people. Father, we've committed ourselves to the plan and the path that you have for us, and we enjoy the way that it manifests, Father. May we go forward, Father, with joy in our spirits,
yes,
with peace that passes all understanding, Father. Hallelujah. And may that joy just be flowing, because, Father, we weren't meant to go through this life in drudgery and in dread and like the world does, Father. But we live a different way, and so may that different life that we live now be manifest on every side and in every way. Thank you, Father. Bless every single one of us in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
This awakening.
Amen.
You know, this awakening.
Praise God.
Awakening
Hallelujah.
To God only.
Awakening.
Not awakening to their evil, their corrupt, but I like this idea of, I'm getting this word, like, awakening to God only. The awakening means God. It doesn't just mean, look, they're corrupt. Awakening to God, right? Mm-hmm. Past the middleman, get rid of him. Straight to God.
Hallelujah.
Through Jesus Christ. Awakening to God. Awakening means God. Awakening is God.
Hallelujah.
And he can awaken us. And then when he wakes us up again, you know, with all this pain, has a great way of awakening us into the spirit. Once that happens, then people will have another decision to make. You know, whether, you know, and I don't think it's a very hard decision, but I think the whole world is, you know, I just feel the whole world's groaning for a solution, groaning for justice, groaning for, you know, but how can we have justice? We have so many people dead from the past, so many injustices that are never answered. All I can say is, if you look at Revelation carefully, you'll see that the whole point of the fall of Babylon is a vengeance the Lord is showing us because he's bringing justice. Amen. That's part of the act of bringing justice. Mm-hmm. And everyone will see that the scales are balanced once again. And we can't do it. We know we need the Lord to do that. He's the only one that can do it. I mean, he stays hidden, you know, to where people don't see what you're doing. They get stupider and stupider as they stay away from him. And the more we go close to him, we get more and more knowledge, we get more and more intelligent. Our conversation is more and more detailed, we use language much better, the English language, much more expressively. And our ideas are much more profound when we're not, you know, they're, you know, basically fear-based. So awakening also means shucking off the fear.
Mm.
And you know, I see it. I want to back up what John said about 2023 and 2024 of being those key times of awakening for the
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For this man on the floor to stand up and realize there's nothing wrong with him. He just needs to get going the right direction.
Just open the eyes to the Lord.
Well, it just must be awful to be in a church and realize that you're just, you know, you're in this church and you realize it's not quite right and you've been living with this your whole life, but you're too afraid to say anything. I understand now about this fear. These people that are completely dependent on the system, they're so afraid that if they say the wrong thing, they'll be cut away, they'll be discarded. And that's not what our country is. We're not based on that. And, you know, the country of the world, I guess the Lord is a country, and that country is, you know, the spirit, and that's a whole other world. And I just want to live in that world. I just want to go to that world. That world is really where the power comes from, where the life comes from, where the rejuvenation comes from, where the real reset comes from God. You know, the new mind, the new heart, and the old man, you know, slain dead. You know, it's just an amazing thing. It's just right before us. And it seems closer than ever now than it was even during the COVID, which I thought the COVID would jimmy a few people awake, but all it did was divide. That's okay. We still have time. The Lord's given us a new day. You know, we're going to be here next month. I guess we'll just call it the 15 Club. The 15 Club.
Yeah, I think it's good that we're moving the prayer day to the 15th because oftentimes when the first comes around, it's like a big surprise.
Well, we had 20 on 20. Ah. Now we're back to the 15th. Pretty soon we'll be back at 20 on 20 again.
All right.
Except instead of 20 minutes, it's going to be praying unceasingly.
Amen.
Grab a few people at work and force them to pray or just say, hold hands with me and pray. And shut your eyes and tell me what you see. Mm-hmm. Because there's something very, very big about to happen. One way or the other, it's coming. Whether we like it or not, it's not on our schedule. I think people are going to start realizing that they've been duped. You know, at some point, they're going to realize they've been lied to. They've been duped. And the only solution's got to be from the Lord, the Creator. It's got to be, you know, the Creator gave us this and the Creator has the solution. The Creator gave us Jesus. It's just not all on us. You know, He lifts us up. He fights our battles. He goes out in front. He knows what's coming. He, as long as we stay close to Him and we you know, try to keep His commandments and His, you know, and really reject sin and keep following that path. He's vowed to, you know, take care of us. There's no guarantee we won't get hurt through the things of the world, but our souls, our lives, our future, our eternal selves will be in very, very good hands. I just don't worry. It's almost like we can't worry about the world because the world's gone to hell in a handbasket, so the only thing left is God. You know, the default is God. There's nothing else to do because, you know, everything else is a heartbreaker. I put my faith in, and I've cautioned people with Elon Musk, just because I said some nice things about him does not mean to start worshiping the guy.
Oh, no, not at all. But
that would be a heartbreaker, too.
Just grateful that he has literally broken open their mind control clamp on, you know, the facts that they have suppressed.
Well, I'm glad God has made me part of that, but I just feel the best thing I can do is really quote scripture, put some Zephyr reports up there, and just kind of like, you know, the political snarky arguing it feels dirty. It doesn't feel like a very good thing to be doing, but the encouraging people with, you know, scriptures, insights, you know, I guess the fruitlessness and the fruitless pursuits are trying to, like, you know, argue left versus right or something like that. We just really can't do that anymore. You know, I mean, I'm speaking for myself. But fortunately, at Twitter, there's quite a few people. They're just prayer warriors, and they're just in there. You know, they're mixing it up with the scriptures, and some are very dedicated. I see them every day.
Yeah.
They have a word for me every day. You know, the late, great Charlie Daniels, the Charlie Daniels band. You know, we all love Charlie Daniels. Anyway, when he was on Twitter, you know, he was on Twitter for like 10 years. I mean, this has been going on a long time. And, you know, he got to the point, you know, toward the end of his life, where all he would do is encourage people with prayer. And he would always like to say, this is the day the Lord has made. You know, let's be glad in it, or let's redeem the time, for the days are short. You know what I mean? Let's make the most of it, he used to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was there every day. And I really, you know, when he wasn't there, I really missed him. I was like, even though we'd be saying the same prayer almost over and over again, he would always be there with prayer. that became his final solution. And you know what? People remember him for that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that much about what happened with the band. I know he played all the way until, you know, basically the day he died. But I don't know, you know, what happened to the band. I do know that I had a few albums, you know, back in the day. I know that he, you know, he had that great iconic song, you know, The Devil Went Down to, I forget it now, the devil song. And, but, you know, there was something about his spirit as he got older, as he got, and times were really bad. He had this light spirit, you know, and I wonder if anyone else remembers him.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember him?
Yes.
Yeah, he was kind of like, I don't know. It was just one of those people that you really love to see, and now there's more. So, you know, and I'm watching this thing happen with Twitter, which is I'm not sure what I'm seeing. I'm just telling you guys it's.
Yeah, I think, you know, Govinda is
a very exciting thing.
Correct when he says that the MSM is never going to tell the truth. I mean, they don't seem like they will.
Yeah, and now Elon Musk has become Trump, and they're going after him. He goes, "Go ahead and attack me," you know. And I'm just watching. Okay, so here's what I love. Here's what's inspired me with Twitter. I'm seeing a guy act fearless. I'm seeing a guy spend $44 billion of his own money. $44 billion cash. Boom. And then he's on there with the criticism of the whole world and the whole left and all the LGBTQ and all the, you know, woke and all the communists and all these basically antichrist people screaming at the guy. And the guy just keeps on it going. He just hits it. He gives it as good as he gets. And it's very interesting to me. That's all. I feel like, you know, I'm asking the Lord what it means. Does this mean we'll be inspired to be more bold? What do they say? The future favors the bold. So I think that's where we have to go in Christ. We have to let the world know that there is a whole other world there they don't know anything about. Just like there's a realm of the dead, there's a realm of the living. You know, the living God. And they don't seem to understand that. I mean, they do, but they don't. You know, they kind of do, but, you know, it's interior. It's in their minds. You know, they can't, you know, it's not illuminated. It's not, you know, lit up so they can touch it. And so it's interesting. Well, any last words, Patrick, Govinda, anybody? I don't know if Govinda's there. Are you still there, brother?
I'm here. Just keep it on, everybody. This is a good time. You know, something I've been saying recently a lot is the book of Acts was written because people acted, you know, so.
He wants action, folks.
Amen.
So it's not, you can believe Amen. Whatever you want, but it's what you need to, it's what you do with it, right?
Well, let's
so
take action. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, let's take the action.
Amen.
Yeah, let's take action.
Amen.
And then for me, Amen. For me, it's always the people, the kingdom is within. Seek him out. You already have the strength. You already have the power within. You just got to use it.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's so great to gather with you guys today and hear your voices and hear your prayers and hear your thoughts and... It's just a real blessing.
Yeah, it's really great being back here and having a, you know,
yes.
It's freezing outside, but we're warm in here, and that's a, we thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you for that heat.
Amen.
And
thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys, who are up in the middle of the night with no announcement. There's still people in the chat.
Bless you.
Yeah.
Bless you all. And we will... And we will meet again next time. We've gone 3 hours here.
Ah.
So it's a great 3-hour meeting. And God bless you.
Yes.
Everyone. And we'll see you next time.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Have a great day, everyone.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bless.